I call the 93rd Senate session of the Associated Students to order here November 5th, 2025 at 5:53 p.m. convening both in person in the Reno line at Senate Chambers and via Zoom. With that being said, moving on to agenda item 3, Pledge of Allegiance and Landing Acknowledgement. Please stand. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
please remain standing for the landing acknowledgement. We acknowledge that the University of Nevada is situated on the traditional homelands of the Northern Paiute, Washoe, Western Shoshone, and Southern Paiute peoples. These lands continue to be a gathering place for indigenous peoples, and we recognize their deep connections to these places. We extend our appreciation for the opportunity to live and learn on their territory. You may now be seated. Ready. Moving back up to agenda item 2, compliance with Nevada open meeting law. Was the agenda posted 3 full working days by 9 a.m., not including the meeting date? It was attached also is the link on the AH1 website for the agenda as follows. Agenda item 2B is the meeting taking place on the day of the week, month, day, year at the time and date listed on the location on the agenda. It is. And is the Zoom link working and available to the public? It is. With that being said, we're moving on to agenda item 4. Roll call the secretary. Now call the roll, please.
Speaker Ackland.
Present.
Senator Atkinson.
Present.
Senator Barris.
Present.
Senator Bourgeois.
Present.
Senator Bolander.
Tardy excused.
Senator Castro.
Present.
Senator Dayton.
Present.
Senator DeBarger.
Present.
Senator Evans.
Present.
Senator Huang.
Present.
Parliamentarian Issa.
Present.
Senator Kitch.
Present.
Senator Custer.
Present.
Senator Lawson.
Present.
Senator Levy.
Not
here. Senator Lucchese.
Present.
Senator McAndrews.
Present.
Senator Micelli.
Absence excused.
Speaker Pro Tempore Moss.
Present.
Senator Radke.
Present.
Senator Saporito.
Present.
And Senator Villa.
Present.
You called the Marjorie's name,
right? Quorum is present.
Thank you. With that being said, we're moving past agenda item 5. There are no minutes to be approved of at this time. Moving down to agenda item 6, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? All right. I did get one public comment sent in, and it reads as follows. Dear Speaker Ackland and the Senate body, I would like to personally recommend Senator Barris for the position of chair for the Committee on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness. Senator Barris has consistently shown a strong commitment to hard work and a sincere passion for bettering the student experience and well-being on campus. Senator Barris is familiar with the inner workings of the Committee on SSW, and I am more than confident in her ability to work with each senator and their liaisons. Senator Barris has performed some of the duties of the chair previously, through assisting with agendizing, writing meeting minutes, and working with the liaisons of the committee. I genuinely believe Senator Barris is the most qualified senator to fill this position, and I'm confident she would do a wonderful job as chair. Her leadership style, work ethic, and commitment to the committee's mission make her an excellent choice for the role, so you should totally vote for her. Also, for the committee members, I recommend Senator Villa for the position of vice chair, as he has demonstrated true growth over the course of this session and a passion for the committee values. Sincerely, Camille Levy. Is there any other public comment before we move on? All right. Real quick, actually, we're going to do some possible corrective action real quick. Possible corrective action is due to novel concerns during past agendas. We're just going to reconfirm these nominees and get that over with. So with that being said, I'm seeking a motion to approve agenda items 7A through B through unanimous consent. So moved by Senator Barris. Is there a second?
Sorry.
Second by Senator Custer. Is there any dissent? Any abstention? All right, that being said, those petitions have been approved. Moving down our agenda here. Moving down to agenda item 11, motions to fast-track appointments. I'm seeking motion to fast-track agenda items 11A through B through unanimous consent.
So moved.
So moved by Speaker Pro Tempore Moss. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Barris. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? All right, that being said, those nominees have been fast-tracked. Moving down our list to agenda item 14, consent agenda. I'm seeking a motion to approve agenda items 14A through B through unanimous consent.
So moved.
So moved by Parliamentarian Issa. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Bardwaz. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? All right, that being said, those nominees have been confirmed. All right. Moving back up to our list, let's see, yep, all right. We're gonna be starting off with a presentation from Dean Cardwell and University Libraries. I understand she has some stuff she'd like to pass out, so if you guys could pass that around to the table, I'd really appreciate that. But Dean Cardwell, we welcome you. You are our guest. You're able to stay for as long or as short as you'd like, take as many questions as you'd like. And I want everybody, not just Dean Cardwell, but our other guests who may be in the room, That Senate is a place for you guys to come and talk to students directly, whether it's issues that may be affecting us or whatever it may be. I want you guys to feel that this place, you guys are able to come and talk to us in an open, free, and great environment. So again, thank you for coming.
Oh, you're welcome. I just have a handout to pass out for all of you, and then just, you know, a few little stickers here. Feel free to take one or two, or, you know, I'll leave all the rest here so you can take them as you like, just a little swag over from judges. So thank you. I really appreciate getting invited to talk to you today. I think, you know, one of the things that's really important about the libraries is that we exist for you, and faculty too, but students are our customers. They are our top concern, and making sure that we serve you and meet your needs is always very important. And I want to talk about two items today, and I also want to get your opinion about both topics. But I also want to hear what you have to say about AI. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I could tell you a lot of things about the libraries, but I want to focus on two tonight. One of them has to do with open educational resources, and it's actually an initiative that started a few years ago with ASUN. When Hudson Brown was the president of ASUN, who continued to work on it over the years, and also to talk about AI and what the libraries is doing with AI and how we're approaching it, and how we're working with other people at the university. So we completely understand that cost of education is rising. It's really difficult to buy textbooks. Textbooks are very expensive. So one of the ways that the libraries have been trying to reduce the cost of textbooks is to find ways to work with faculty faculty spend a lot of time putting their courses together, putting their materials together. Sometimes we have a lot invested in their materials, so it's a lot to ask of them. So one of the things that we've been doing to get faculty to adopt open educational resources to reduce the cost of textbooks is to get them to join a grant opportunity where they have to redesign their course materials. It's a grant that's been funded by Provost Thompson. Faculty who want to redesign a course, design materials, they can apply for a grant. The grant funding is based on the number of students they will impact, the kind of course that it is. We've really been trying to target high enrollment courses so that we can spread the impact more. The most recent list of courses that have gone through it are listed there. And there's some more data for that that we'll have a chance to take a look at. You can see the variety of courses that are there, and also the number of students that are impacted, and there's some estimates about how much money that we save. We're trying to ramp up and have more of an impact. One of the ways that that's going to happen quite naturally is the state of Nevada, which recently passed legislation requiring NSHEETs to provide low-cost and no-cost courses that will then be tagged in the course registration system. And so if you're looking for a class, one of the attributes which you can select is no-cost, or zero-cost, or low-cost, which is talking about it at the state level, about $40. So it's a way for departments to promote courses that are low-cost or no-cost, so that students can know before they register. And we piloted it, we work with the registrar's office. So Dr. Heaton's area on campus, we work with the registrar's office to do some piloting of it in world languages and anthropology, and it's worked out. So we're ahead for the state legislation, and we'll be ramping that up. There are faculty who have low-cost or no-cost courses that we don't necessarily know about, so we're trying to identify them too. We have been working across the state with librarians and faculty to introduce them to this concept. And so there were something like 3 people who attended the first symposium last spring. And we've recently partnered with a new company out of the Netherlands that has focused on open educational resources. And they can take this platform that they have can take course readings, textbooks, and see if there are open alternatives available. So So it's a way to help faculty figure out and find alternatives that are, you know, that can freely be incorporated into the course. On the back of the handout, there's just some estimates of how much we've saved annually for students since we've with this project. We hope that we can save more money as the time increases. And you can see what students have to say about it. You know, one of the things that we know is sometimes people can't buy their textbooks for the second or third week of the semester. And we know from research, that students who wait that long to get a textbook are behind, and their academic success is impacted. So having OER available the first day, you don't have to worry if you can afford it. You can stay up with the course readings. It's a good way to get student success. And then there's some results of the student survey that we've done and the students that have been impacted. So it has a big contribution to access and success for students at the university. We know that 86% of the students who completed the survey have some form of financial aid. So this is a great way for people to save money. And you can see the comments that students made on about that. And so we hope to increase the numbers of those. We keep finding ways to ramp up these efforts. And then you can see the other courses that have been impacted over the past 5 years. And so we're going into our next round. So any questions about that?
Senator Custer and Senator Dayton.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This is awesome so far. I do have a question about the no-cost materials. So basically, it's saying that you don't have to pay anything else besides just tuition, right?
It's the textbook.
Textbook. Okay.
It's not like it's not like lab fees. So those are considered separate.
Awesome.
So it will be like the materials that you need to go to the bookstore.
Thank you so much.
Also, I just want to add, please use the mics, guys, just so we're able to pick everything up on the Zoom. Senator Dayton and Senator Lawson.
Hi, I really enjoyed what you said so far. These are really cool programs. So for this grant that's given to faculty, what money are they given, and what's that used for?
So one of the things that we try to recognize is that this takes faculty time and effort. So as a way to acknowledge that this takes time and effort on behalf of a faculty member, redesign course, the provost provides grants. They range from about $2,000 to $5,000. The $5,000 are for ones that impact more students, more course sections. They're revising the course. If it's a smaller class that doesn't impact as many students, it could be $2,000. And it also depends on whether they're just adopting one that's already available or they're adapting one to meet the current needs. So they have to write a proposal. So a lot of OERs, you can take them wholesale and use them as they are, but they're usually created with a license that you can adapt them to. So somebody could adapt and add content or delay content. And we have a way to publish that. Okay, thank you.
Senator Lawson and Senator Castro.
Hi, I was just kind of curious on how you guys choose the courses that will receive the OER grants.
It's the faculty who to participate. So they write a proposal to participate. And then there's a committee made up of people from the library, but also faculty around campus, who select.
Thank you. Senator Castro?
Yes. Senator Castro, for the record, to clarify, when the grant is given to professors, is it the grant that covers the full cost of textbooks for their entire classes, or are students chosen to have their textbooks given to them for free on a need basis?
So the faculty are given, it's a grant that they receive to spend time revising their courses. So they revise their course to incorporate no cost OER. So the money doesn't go to the students, the money goes to the faculty member who are working on their course and being willing to adopt this new approach.
Speaker Pro Tempore Moss.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your presentation. I'm actually in these courses that provide OER, and I can safely say that this is a huge help. Like, this is a fantastic program. I'm in, like, Professor Strang's History 101C class this semester, and this has just been a huge financial help for me specifically, and I can't imagine how many other students it's serving. My question for you, you said that professors apply to the grant or apply to use the OER program. Is there any, is that open to all faculty? Okay. And then are there any plans to expand the course load as we go along with the program, or is it kind of kept to this kind of smaller size?
So we have a grant program.
Yeah.
But just recently started into SILLA, which is that platform where faculty lot easier. So one of the hard things about identifying OER in the past was you'd have to go to one place and then another place and another place.
Yeah.
You have to cobble things together. But this SILLA platform, you can search, it's one platform. You can search for materials. It integrates into Web Campus, so it integrates into Canvas very easily. So, and we also have a new electronic reserve system in the libraries where we are seeing, you know, how we're trying to leverage our existing reading list to see, you know, how to get more faculty and help them find it. And so we can also get the public, the textbooks for your courses are publicly available information, so we can get those ISBNs for books and try to help people to do it. The biggest issue are the homework platforms, right? Because that's one thing that's really difficult. And you can't pass them on to somebody else and that sort of thing. But there's more and more happening with getting OER platforms.
Wonderful.
So we're really hoping that this new SILLA platform that we have will make it easier for faculty to explore on their own, to look at comparisons, to put their faculty and put things together. And so, and then the libraries will do a lot of trying to raise awareness of these. You can see the variety of courses. We have anthropology, math, anthropology, we have med person this semester. So just a lot. There's just a lot of variety. And we're just trying, especially gen ed courses that you all have to take. And lower the costs. And really, earlier access to course material, textbooks, improves student success in.
Thank you so much.
I have a question, and this is Speaker Ackland for the record. I'm just kind of curious on, is there anything that AHUN can do, anything the Senate body can do to help your guys' branch, department, programs, whatever it may be? Is there anything we can do to help you guys?
I think we could keep working. OER started with AHUN about 5 years ago, and I think there's a resolution on your books, but I think just talking about it, telling your faculty about it, you know, letting people know that this.
Does anybody have any other questions?
I'd like to talk about AI.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, and I, you know, I love interacting with you all, and we go
way back.
Speaker Ackland, we go way back when he was a first year student, working with the libraries, so it's nice to see all of you here. The other thing I really wanted to talk about is AI, because I wanted also to get your thoughts and ideas, and so I'm a member of the group that's working on Hack AI initiative. I know that Provost Thompson has talked to you about it, and those of you. So the part that I'm working on is with other people on campus, like this the Writing and Speaking Center, like the Center for Teaching Advancements in Teaching Excellence, Dr. Lindsay Monroe, who has been a leader at the university on it. And so we are trying, I would describe what the libraries are doing as, we are critical adopters. We are not blindly opening, of course, the libraries has 100 people who work there. There are people who love AI, they want to experiment, they want to do all this stuff. Then there's the people on the other end of the spectrum that are like, no way, I'm not, for lots of reasons. And so we feel that it's our obligation
to be an AI literate library, and that we are information professionals, so we need to know and have a good sense and have our arms around what's happening. So with PAC AI, right now we've been working on updating the page for students about information about using AI. And you know, the idea, I was a librarian before the web. So I've gone through Wikipedia, I've gone through the web, this is not a new argument to me. It's not gonna be the end of the world, we're not gonna go away. But the advice that we're giving is advice that, you know, I learned as a student, and I learned as a peer tutor. I was a peer tutor in the writing center, and the advice that we're giving is talk to your instructor about the assignment. What are your instructor's rules? Because you can have somebody who's a creative writing faculty member who, you know, creative writing, they want your writing, they want your skills. There might be other rules in an accounting class. You can use AI to crunch the data in the spreadsheet, or, you know, make a narrative about the spreadsheet. It just really depends. And it's going to be different rules for different factors, not a one size fits all. If you're worried about cheating or academic honesty, talk to your professor. But see what their rules are. If they tell you to cite it. If they tell you not to use it, don't use it. But it's built, you know, it's getting built into more and more of our tools. The library, for example, in its search layer, it's called a discovery layer, it's built in. And it's built in already. You can do and explore the topic. You don't have to use it. It's not going to write a paper for you, but it might pull back about 5 to 10 resources to get you started. And that's, you know, but it's not actually doing your work. So we're beefing up the PAC AI page. We hope to have it out before the next semester. And then within the libraries, we have two different groups. The libraries has folks that are public facing. They work with students. They work with teaching and learning. They work with you all as students. But then there's another cohort in the libraries who are the back-end folks who work with the technology. They're writing code. They're doing a lot with spreadsheets. They're doing a lot with data. They're just working with a lot of information. So we have the teach and learn with AI group, and they're coming up with definitions about what AI literacy is. And then we have the folks who are back of the house, working with spreadsheets, working with data, programming, working with programs. So they're coming up with guidelines on how we can use it. So for example, one of the things, did I lose?
No, it's just our Zoom is acting up. We can't try over here as well.
That looks like it's on. So for example, the group that's working on it's called Apply AI, they're giving ways that we should use it. For example, one of the ideas they're promoting is we can't use AI to review job applicants. We have to read them. We have to do everything with a human eye so that it will be a principle in our libraries. You know, when we have a job, we're not going to use AI to rate the applicants. We have to do the human review. And so we're having principles like that. And if you use AI, you have to say you used AI to work on a project. So those kinds of things. And we have two groups of people working on national research projects. One with Sarah Cummings from the Center for Teaching Excellence, and another with Ithaca, which is a group, a national group that works on in libraries and museums. So we're, you know, contributing to those, but also learning from them, and just participating in campus. And so, questions from me about AI, but I'm really curious also, since I have all of you here, what are your thoughts? What are your concerns? I can take it back to the group that I'm working with too.
Senator Castro.
I want to quickly express that I'm very thankful for the very nuanced approach that you're taking to AI, and I understand that your role in this is sort of, I don't want to say your hand is forced, but there's a new generation coming, and there's only so much you can do, and moving with the revolution is better than driving it. But I do have to say I am concerned, and I'm less so concerned, maybe this is a bad look on my part, I'm less so concerned with academic dishonesty. more so concerned with the declining rate of intellectual literacy in this country that is being furthered, in my opinion, by AI and generative tools that do not encourage the process of individual thinking, especially in academic senses. And I understand that this is something that can be subjectively helped by, like you mentioned, ways in which we can address AI and use it as our own tool. But there is something else which is not your fault or anyone else's fault in the library, but something we must address, which is to say that AI presents not just an intellectual harm, but an environmental harm. Ultimately, it is something that will contribute to the highest rates of non-recyclable waste we'll ever see in this country. It uses, I want to say, 10 times the electricity of a Google search. And I worry not so much for whether or not students are cheating to get an A, but whether or not there will exist a time where this university has the ability to have students that are not fleeing from climate crisis, because AI is a contributor to such issues and worries. That's very important. I'm sorry about that. But I think it's important to be said. Yes.
Any questions? No questions? Senator Custer, then Senator McAndrews.
Thank you. Yeah, AI is a very tricky subject. I'm an engineering major. It's one of those things where, for our question, like you said, some of us will be examining it. Sometimes it is useful, sometimes the president will say, you can use it for this, and then it's very baseline stuff. There are obviously very high concerns, of course, that nobody probably in the university or even the national has the answer to a lot of these questions. But, I like the approach of trying to say, you can't ignore it, just like you said with the internet. You can't say, okay, it doesn't exist, we should pretend it's not there. I appreciate the university saying they acknowledge it, we're going to help you provide tools. And I also appreciate them saying, but we're not just going to say, here's AI, here's AI for everything, because then I do agree you see a lot more of that financial literature, or not financial, but education literacy. So it's a very tricky subject for sure. I did have a question about kind of how it would be kind of implemented in the classroom in terms of per class basis. So is it kind of going to be up to the instructor and their syllabus to say like zero AI, you can't use okay, so we'll all.
And that's not really anything new in the educational world. That is the way it has always kind of been. Has Wikipedia always been accepted in your lifetime? Yeah, so it was like absolutely no Wikipedia, and then gradually it. So it's you always, you're here to learn, and we're here to teach you, and so giving you the parameters that you can work in, that's what we're here to do. And so, there could be a faculty member who says absolutely no AI, I want this to be your work. Or they want it in this particular, you can use it here, but not here. And, but also, I think that all of you need to be the critical adopters. We have some folks in the library world who are, not deniers, but they're just people who don't,
they're
just completely opposed to it.
But
yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And then, when you will be up to the professor, I guess my question is more like, are professors going to be helpless, and are they need to clearly outline their syllabus, or if they can't change that? Sometimes, some classes, some teachers are very open, like, you did have a chat beside it, or you can't use that within as long as teachers that don't acknowledge it, and it's like all of that middle ground. So I'm just curious if there's going to be more of a basically a requirement on the structure so you really can outline what your vision on AI to make sure that the students are all.
I don't know. I can say that.
No,
I can't.
Sure, yeah.
I can't say that. I think that's the provost has done a really great job at bringing in excellent speakers this year for faculty, from the Joel Davis from U of F, from Lindsay Monroe, and two professors from the English department, Katie Miller. Sorry, I forget the other person's name. But really thoughtful and getting faculty to think about it. And I think it's also, teaching classes and being a faculty member is, it's a lot of work. And so figuring out how to incorporate things or not incorporate things. I think just being, if you're unsure,
thank you so much.
Senator McAndrews.
I'm so happy that you brought up the topic of AI. I find it really interesting because people do have stances on AI, and at the baseline of it all, it's like an educational Heather's feed. And I really love that conversation because I think you guys just come from a stance of like bringing what this institution does and just bringing education overall, right? So I think just coming from that stance, just providing a platform for students to learn more about AI and faculty to learn more about AI, I think that is just the most powerful thing that we can do as a university, and providing that opportunity for students as well. So, yeah.
So you all have liaison librarians who are assigned to your discipline if you go to the library webpage. If you have an assignment, if you want to learn more about it, you can look for working with your liaison librarian. I know the Writing and Speaking Center is also working on it as well. And I know that Sarah Cummings' office, the Center for Advanced Teaching Excellence, she's doing a lot with it as well. And, you know, it's kind of like building the airplane as we're flying. Like, we're all just trying to make sense of this, right? And so that's, in the libraries, that's why we have these two groups. Like, there's the folks that are focused on teaching and learning and how it impacts, but then there's also, like, how it impacts our work. Like, I think it's really important that we evaluate job applicants in we don't outsource that to AI and say, pick the best candidate. You know, we don't want to do that. There's just so much that you get, we don't want to outsource that. It's just too important. And like other areas where we can do it, we should do it. You know, for example, we can't use any FERPA protected data, like your student data. Everything has to be anonymous. We can't do anything that's private. So we have a lot of rules around how we can use it, and I think it's helped people, kind of get a grip on what they can do and what they can't do.
Are there any other signers with questions besides Senator Radke and Senator Dayton? Because we do have to fix the Zoom and make sure we're able to be transparent and all that stuff. So does anybody have any other questions? Okay, Senator Radke and Senator Dayton, go ahead.
Thank you for your presentation. I was just wondering if there was any talks about professors using AI to grade students' work, because some students can't use AI to write essays, but then professors will use AI to grade different things. I just didn't know if there was any talks.
I think that people are talking about how you should use AI, and like maybe there's certain moments when grading with AI is okay in certain moments, and then there's other moments where it's not. And so I think just making people aware, like I can't say that there's any, I don't have the authority to say that faculty aren't going to do that, but I think this is all the talks that I've been to this semester that the provost has hosted, the speakers have like, that's the thing you don't want to outsource. That's the most important, the connection you have with students. And so maybe there's something really simple that might not matter that is AI graded, or like maybe it's like a multiple choice that was probably graded anyway, that way. But that actually grading and connecting with students is the most important thing, and the reason that we're here. It's being talked about.
Senator Dayton.
Senator Dayton, go to the record. I really like this phrase you use, informational professionals, to describe librarians. So I wanted to shout that out, and that's a really great way of describing what librarians do, and what view is so boring. A question and reason I have regarding AI comes to, like, intellectual property. Uh-huh. So when students input original work into language learning models, they like surrender their right to that work. Yes. So as you guys are like launching packages or students, and as the student facing part of this whole project, are you guys going to make sure students know what they're surrendering or rights to get after their intellectual property when they use AI?
We're trying to talk about that a lot. And in fact, one of the things about the libraries is we license lots of copyrighted content. And our licenses prohibit that content, like an article, from being uploaded into Copilot and Summarize. Because we can't use copyright. I mean, people do, but theoretically, anything you're putting into that large language model could be, depending on what the parameters are, could be training a large language model. And your work could be, you theoretically should not be putting copyrighted information. Like the articles, research articles you might be asked to summarize, for instance. So we're trying to talk about that as well. There was a phrase, I can't remember what my folks used, but it was like, once you let it out, you can't get it back. So be really careful about what you let out. And that's not, it's a very inelegant way to explain what they were talking about. It's like, it might be private now, but if that company gets sold, what are the guarantees that it's still going to be private? And so if you're really concerned about you're concerned about your own intellectual property, you know, you don't want to get it.
Now we're going to cut off. All right. Thank you, Dean Carpwell. All righty. In order to make sure our Zoom is working properly, I'm seeking a motion for a 7-minute recess through unanimous consent.
So moved.
So moved by Speaker Pro Tempore Moss. Is our second.
Second.
Second by Senator Barris. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? All right. With that being said, the Senate will reconvene at 6:15 p.m.
Yeah, you can.
Is it recording?
Yep.
All right, we are finally able to get the Zoom up and running. It is working, so everything is being recorded. Lovely. With that being said, the Secretary now call the roll, please.
Speaker Acklin.
Present.
Senator Atkinson.
Present.
Senator Barris.
Present.
Senator Bourgeois.
Present.
Senator Bolander.
Present.
Senator Castro.
Present.
Senator Dayton.
Present.
Senator DeBarger.
Present.
Senator Evans.
Present.
Senator Juan.
Present.
Parliamentarian Issa.
Present.
Senator Kitch.
Present.
Senator Custard.
Present.
Senator Lawson.
Present.
Senator Lucchese.
Present.
Senator McAndrews.
Present.
Senator Micelli.
Absence excused.
Speaker Pro Tempore Moss.
Present.
Senator Radke.
Present.
Senator Saporito.
Present.
Senator Villa.
Present.
Quorum's present.
Is the quorum present?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Next, we're going to hear from the Office of Financial Aid and Scholarship. Again, apologies for our Zoom complications. That's never happened before, but we're able to get that figured out. There also is no clicker, so if you guys have to press it, or I can have one of the senators come up here.
I'm fully capable of
pressing. Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
I'd love it.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
Good.
Wonderful. My name is Jeff Green. I am the Associate Director of Financial Aid Scholarships here at the University. I have with me Dr. Jill Keaton, Senior Vice Provost of the University. I brought in the big guns to make sure we can get all your questions answered. I just started my role as the Associate Director on October 1st. I finished my first month. But without further ado, I'd love to get questions at the end, so please write them down as you see fit, and then we will get those answered at the end.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jeff. I just want to know Lucchese. You got any nice boots?
No relation.
Okay, that's too bad.
Those are too expensive. I don't know the policy.
So thanks for that introduction, Jeff. Again, my name is Jill Heaton, Senior Vice Provost for Enrollment Services. I've been in this role for a little over 2 years. That includes the Registrar's Office, Financial Aid, Office for Prospective Students, as well as Veterans Services. And so I wanted the opportunity to be here with you guys today. Jeff's going to do most of the talking, but I want to do a couple high-level slides for you. First, I just want to give you a quick rundown of our fall 2025 enrollment. So you'll see that we had significant growth in a number of these categories. Our undergraduate total population grew by 2.2%. We saw growth in the Collegiate Academy, which are the dual enrolled students. Graduate enrollment has had a slight decline, and that's related to visa issues and decline in international students. And we've got also the medical students and the non-degree students. I'm super, super excited that this past year, though, we saw record new freshman enrollment. And that was up 8.7%. Record in Nevada incoming freshmen as well. Washoe County record, almost there for Clark County. And for rural Nevada, we're just one student shy of having a record. And so technically, that's not a record yet, but I just had to say it. And the other thing I'm super excited about is we also had record Hispanic enrollment in terms of supporting our mission as HSI, as well as serving the demographics of the state. If you can go to the next one, please. So I wanted to share with you at a high level what I call the investment responsibility or investment portfolio of financial aid. Except for advancement, there is no other unit on campus that has the responsibility for as much money as the financial aid office does. And we do all of this for you. As a matter of fact, I say to prospective students in particular all the time that we are here for you. It is not my world. It's not Jeff's world. And this harkens back to some of the other things that you've said and talking to Dean Cardwell. It is your world. It's our job to guide, to help, and get out of your way if you want to know the truth, right? It's your world to shape. And so this investment that we have the responsibility for supports all students on this campus, except for the non-degree students and the dual enrollment students. But the medical school, graduate students, undergraduate students. So institutional fee, which comes from your tuition dollars, we're projected to generate about $28 million. This also includes differential fees. So that is what will be generated in this fiscal year that we are turning around and spending back on you as students. We also take a portion of the state dollars, our state funding that is provided by the state of Nevada, and we dedicate $3.5 million of that towards financial aid for students. We've got about $15 million in donor-based aid that we turn around and provide to students. Excuse me. There's also the state millennium, which is about $13 million this year. Waivers. We have a number of waiver programs, Native American, Foster Youth, for example. Those collectively are $5 or $6 million a year of waived dollars. We don't waive a full $25 million in any one year. But that is the total amount that we could waive. And we are working towards trying to strategize the use of those waivers to help drive enrollment and support students. We also disperse about $5 million in private aid. Students work with outside organizations, win a private grant that is then used towards their educational costs. And then we're dispersing about $115 million of federal aid. That federal aid is broken down between Pell, free grant aid, as well as loans for students. And again, across from undergraduate, graduate students, and med students. We manage about 60 different budgets and 1,500 different donor accounts and dispersing aid to students. We've got about 22 employees, and at this time right now, we have 7 student workers. And that, if you have any questions about any of this, you can go ahead and I think ask me, and then Jeff is going to talk about some other things. But I will stay right here, and you'll be able to ask me questions after Jeff is done. So.
What?
Do you have a question?
No, I thought you were going
to come. Okay, perfect. All right. So I am new to the position, but I'm not new to the university. I've been on this campus since 2007 when I started my undergraduate career. I was also a part of the association in programming, so I'm kind of biased to ASU programming. And then I was part of the marching band. I got my degree in secondary education, so my education people here, they have one. And then I also went to graduate school here as well. I've been in financial aid for about 12 years now. I did take a short break to live in the Center for Student Engagement as the Assistant Director of Clubs and Organizations. So this is bringing me right back to what I'm used to. I love this space. I love the association, the university. So I'm just kind of plugging in all the things that I'm excited about. And thank you for having us in general. Okay?
So like Dr. Heaton was saying, we do have a lot of oversight of funds, but our office can really be broken down to four functional areas. One being our compliance and processing. Compliance is a big piece of working in the Financial Aid and Scholarships Office at the state, institutional, and federal level. Scholarship and institutional aid management, disbursement, all that great stuff. Our data team is huge. It's really the heartbeat of our office. They automate a lot of our processes, give us the queries we need to produce information. They're making things go. Dispersing your aid at the beginning of the fall semester. That's super important, the beginning of the spring semester. And then client services. That's probably the group in our office that you're going to be interacting with the most, our front-end advisors, staff, students that are helping students with their FAFSA application, getting their meeting with you one-on-one with our virtual appointments, anything like that, our FAFSA outreach events, okay? Diving a little bit deeper before I go in, before you saw these four categories, what did you think the function was for financial aid scholarships? What were we doing in there every single day in our office? What are we working on?
Taking
hold of our account. Taking hold of our account. That's super important, especially for students. What else? Dispersing the funds, yes. Big one.
Answering phone calls.
Answering phone calls, yes. That is a component.
Yep, tracking the funds.
Tracking the funds, okay, yes. A lot of times, and it's a joke within the financial aid community, people in general do not know what financial aid administrators do until we don't do it. Yeah? So this is just some highlighted pieces of the different areas of our office. So compliance is huge. We have about a 300-page federal student aid handbook that we have to read, decipher, disseminate to leadership, and making sure our policies to that. We're subject to an internal and external audit every single year. We're dealing with a lot of funds at different levels, so we have to get ready for that audit every year to make sure that we're compliant with all the standards. Our compliance team is also in charge of consumer information, which is a very broad partnership across campus. Are you familiar with Constitution Day? On September 17th, did you know that we're federally required to have that day and that event in order for us to keep federal aid eligibility? So thank you for Center for Student Engagement and ASU for doing that, because that's part of our reach. Same thing with housing and athletics and our campus police with fire and safety reports. These are all things we have to have on file to stay eligible for aid that you may not know is connected to the Financial Aid Scholarships Office. We also have to make sure we're managing all of the day-to-day processing of federal funds when it comes to compliance and processing. So if you ever got selected for federal verification, to audit your FAFSA, making sure we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's, because every single thing we do gets audited. Okay? Cool. Scholarships and institutional aid. Our scholarship team really works closely with our university advancement office and making sure that if we have new donors to the university, that we're collecting those trusts, understanding the contracts, creating new item types that we can award those funds out to students. Also working with external organizations, we collect thousands upon thousands of external scholarship checks from various organizations, and so we have to make sure we're cashing that, getting that deposit into your accounts as soon as possible. Also, the Millennium Scholarship, state programs, institutional grants, all of those access funds that Dr. Heaton was talking about that we get from tuition dollars, that's under our institutional aid. Data, batching our processes, making sure that all of our daily transmissions to and from the Department of Ed are happening. That's super important because that's the starting point to be able to release funds to students. We have to draw down for our G5 account, which is how we access federal dollars to the university. We have to make sure that's reconciled every single month and make sure all of our data is matching, so super important there. And then our last thing is client services. My favorite thing, that's my background, is really doing the outreach, talking to students. We do outreach all around Nevada, California. We do have advisors dedicated to doing high school events, FAFSA workshops, things like that in Southern Nevada and Northern Nevada. We also make sure that we are providing some kind of financial literacy program. You guys might be familiar with Nevada Money Mentors. That is our financial literacy program here on campus, housed within the Financial Aid Scholarships Office. That's a huge resource for students. So make sure you're spreading the word about that. I have some more talk about that as well, okay? and then answering the phones and working with Red Jack this area. Anyway, cool. Some things I want to plug just to make sure you know as a body, these are things you should be telling your constituents about. February 15th is a big day for us. That is the party deadline for all funding for the next upcoming school year. That means that you have your FAFSA for the 2026-27 year completed and to our institution. That's super important. If you have constituents who need to complete an institutional methodology form instead of a FAFSA, due to not being eligible for FAFSA, that's usually our international students, a lot of our graduate population fills out that form. Then that's the same timeline. It opens every year, October 1st. We like to have that on file by February 15th for maximum consideration. And that's super important. A lot of students do not know that the FAFSA is used for three different funding sources that are need-based: the federal need-based funds, state need-based funds, and our institutional need-based funds. Okay? If you scan this QR code, that's going to take you to our external scholarship resource page. We manage a live resource page based off of community organizations that have reached out to us to say, hey, we want to advertise our scholarship to your students. We vet out these scholarship organizations. We publish the ones we trust. These are organizations that we commonly get scholarship dollars from. And so that way you guys have an easy starting point of, I'm looking for scholarships, where do I begin? I will say our high school students matriculating into their freshman year are great at applying for external scholarships. Our upperclassmen are not. For some reason, we just stop doing the work of applying for more scholarships. A lot of those organizations are looking for undergraduate students, not necessarily a new freshman in college, okay? So make sure you participate in that. A big one is our general scholarship application here at the university. Does anyone have a scholarship application? That's good. It lives in the same.
That wasn't good. That wasn't that many hands.
Yes, that's good that you got it. So the general scholarship application is the application for all institutional scholarships. So we house that within MyNevada. We collect those applications between October 1st and February 15th. Once we have those applications, we then download all that data and send it out amongst the campus community to all the different colleges and departments. Each department actually has a scholarship chair and scholarship committee that gets to pick and choose which students they give the departments or departmental scholarships to. Okay? So in order to be on that list eligible for nomination, you do this general scholarship application so you can be nominated. Super important to spread the word on that. I'd love your help making sure we get our students submitting that. We do get an influx of scholarship applications around February 1st, but earlier the better. Okay. And then some other programs I want to make sure you're familiar with. Our Nevada Money Mentors program, I just talked about that. That's huge for our students as far as budgeting, one-on-one coaching, making sure that you understand, I'm taking out this loan, what does that mean? We also have two other processes that are under the umbrella of professional judgment, okay? Can anyone tell me what year tax return you're required to use for this current year's FAFSA? What was it asking for?
Your tax.
Was it 2020? Was it 2024? 2023? Okay, I'm gonna go with 2023. Yes? So this is 2 years prior. So for this current age year, you're using taxes from 2023 to determine your financial aid eligibility. Our reevaluation process allows our office to collect a future year tax return, either from you or your parents, and we can swap out that tax year. That's huge for students who are looking for additional resources, because if your family lost income, lost a job, changed a job, whatever the case may be, and now you have significantly less income. This process allows us to reflect that and then see if that makes any changes to your aid eligibility. You can even do that for 2025. So once your family starts filing taxes in January, February for 2025, we get to pick and choose which tax year you want to use, the current 2023, 2024, or your future 2025. So just know this reevaluation process always exists. This is the first thing you do with students to see if is your financial aid package reflective of what your current situation is. Okay? Spread that out. Please tell people about that. The other one is special circumstances. That covers all other financial changes in the household, not specifically tied to change of income. So that is, hey, when I did my FAFSA a year ago, my parents were together, but now they're being separated or they're going through a divorce. Can I take one of my parents off my FAFSA? The answer is yes, through a special circumstance. Or my house burned down due to the California wildfire we had in the past. Can we take into consideration that all of our assets are gone and we had to spend money to rebuild and I don't have that for college? Yes, through a special circumstance. So when in doubt, please make sure you and your peers are coming to our office and asking for this kind of assistance, because we can walk you through these processes to see if that changes your eligibility grade. Okay? That is our contact information, so this is your time to ask this question.
All right, does anybody have any questions? All right, stick your hands out far and wide if you got a question. Bardwaj, Bolander, Custer, any others? Issa, Saporito. Any others that I'm missing? All right, list goes as follows. Bardwaj, Bolander, Custer, Issa, and Saporito. Senator Bardwaj, go ahead.
Thank you guys for coming in. I love seeing a bunch of numbers, so I thoroughly enjoyed the presentation. Regarding the general scholarship application, does the committee have a set number for how many applicants they give the scholarship out to, or does it change year to year, semester to semester?
Great question. It changes year to year. So every year we will send out the application to any given department, and they decide based off of their funding and the scholarships that year on how much they have to hand out. So it's different from college to college.
And donor to donor also. The donor might say, I want five $1,000 scholarships, for example. Or I've got $5,000 and the department can give it to one student or give it to several students. So a lot of that depends on that donor agreement.
Senator Bolander.
Hi guys, thanks for your presentation. I got a couple questions. When you showed the graphic for that pie chart, you mentioned that institutional aid category. Is that donations that are just given to the university in general, or is that specifically targeted to specific colleges that include basically that as well?
So the fee, the state, or donor, or any of them?
The institutional donor aid.
So the institutional donor-based aid, that I refer back up to the top up there. We've got about 1,500 different donor-based accounts. So the Jill Keaton Geography Scholarship, right? Or the Jeff Green Music or Marching Band Scholarship. So those funds come to the university through advancement. And they come in two ways. They can come as a cash gift. And every year that donor renews that cash gift. Let's say the cash gift is $100,000, and every year we have to spend $100,000 on students. The other thing they can do is set up an endowment. They'll give $100,000, and every year the spinoff or the return on that $100,000 is 4.5%. And so we're spending 4.5% of that gift generally on an annual basis, based upon what on the donor criteria. We have a large pot, $3.5 million, I think, of general scholarships, where there is no restriction in the sense that it's a business major or a geography major, or you have to be interested in weather, or you have to be interested in lizards. That's what I study. And so those we have the ability to broadly apply to any student. And some of them are, I mean, I joke, it's not true, but you know, a left-handed baseball pitcher from Winnemucca. We really try to work with donors to not be that restrictive, right? Because we want to be able to maximize these dollars for the most students, and the more restrictive they are. Sometimes it is actually hard to find students that meet the criteria of very restrictive scholarships. Did that answer the question?
Yes, and then what steps have you guys taken to promote donor donations?
We're so excited that you asked that question. So we have a new director, a new vice president for advancement, Tracy Osterman. I encourage you to invite her to talk. Her number one campaign, major campaign that she has for the next several years is to grow scholarships for students. And so having that partnership with advancement specifically as a campaign, we're not campaigning for a new building. We're campaigning for more funds for students. And so we're really excited about that, her selecting that as her new major campaign. Otherwise, departments often will lead those campaigns. But again, having the full umbrella of the university supporting this, super, super excited. It will be what is able to support going forward, starting next fall. I shudder to say this in front of all of you because you aren't eligible for it. I'm always open, honest, and transparent. But starting next fall, we have four-year in-state scholarships for Nevada students, and we have four-year full-pay out-of-state scholarships for students, non-Wichita-based students. And so we're able to do that because of changes that we've made in the financial aid office, as well as the campaign that we have with advancement. And so it's really moving the bar forward for our students, not just that first year scholarship, but a second, a third, and a fourth for you.
Cool, that's exciting. I got one more. Where'd that Penn State check go?
The
Penn State. The ball game, sorry.
I don't, not me.
That doesn't really make sense.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
Because it wasn't me. Or financial aid.
No problem.
All right. Thank you, Senator Boehlender. Senator Custer.
Thank you. I think you kind of answered this question, but just to clarify, so a lot of us, when we first came to the university, there was that four-year scholarships that were more than just the presidential. So there was like the presidential
provost.
Yeah. And so I think that was my question. So kind of why was that kind of stopped to go back to the single year, like year-to-year basis, semester-to-semester basis? And then, so you're saying that is planned to come back, is that true?
So, the National Merit President and Provost were four-year scholarships. I don't know how many years I can go too far back. But during COVID, the process went from the matrix to a holistic process. We brought that matrix back post-COVID for fall 2024. The institution went through a period, and we're still through a period of a bit of a financial struggle, right, in terms of trying to grow our enrollment. But it's an investment. And you have to invest in order to grow. So some of the things that we've done in financial aid to help us with this is standardize our process. We have reduced the amount of need-based aid for some students and increased it for other students. The point being is we're trying to serve the neediest of needy students the best with the need-based aid. And then add merit based on that for both need-based students as well as non-need-based students. It's taken me about it's taken me 2 years to basically build the financial model that says we can do this. One of the things that we did was work with advancement. This is way down in the weeds, but if you're in business, you probably like this. Or if you like lizards, you might like this too. Advancement would give us the budget. I'll use fall 25 as the example. They would give us the budget for their fall 2025 donor-based scholarships in May. Okay. Most of the new students have already decided where they're going, and so what we did was, first thing I asked was, move it up a quarter. Then I'm going to ask to move an additional quarter up so that we're able to leverage these dollars sooner. And so what happened in fall of 2024, we had a whole bunch of awards, a whole bunch of offers out there, And 2 weeks into the semester when we got to census, we're like, oh, we have $3 million left. Because we gave a whole bunch of awards to students that didn't come here. So we're not doing that anymore. We have a scholarship deadline also.
June 15th, right down to the
So, yeah, so June 15th. You have to accept your scholarship by that date, and you have to be enrolled or in the advanced registration process, for example, for new students. And if you don't, we take it away. So I can give it to somebody who's coming here, right? And so we've done a lot of that. We haven't made new money, really, right? But we're using it smarter and able then to have a better picture of what we have and what we can spend year over year to support four-year scholarships for students.
Go ahead.
Sorry, thank you so much. That helped, very helpful. And then one more question too. So the shift away from that like holistic approach, is that something that we're the financial office is still kind of sticking with for merit-based scholarships? Is it still going to be criteria of the SAT score here, GPA here?
Right. So it's still very numeric driven. It's, you know, get it in by this state, this ACT or SAT, and this GPA. A really cool thing that we have for new incoming students for next year. You can actually go to our website and you can put in your GPA, you can put in your test score, hit enter, and boom, it tells you automatically what scholarship that you are, merit-based scholarship you're eligible for. The other thing that was really important for me, back to this National Merit Presidential and Provost, that was for the highest academically performing student. Our four-year matrix for in-state students, if you are regularly admissible, you get a four-year scholarship. It is for all students. We have a strategic plan that says access for all Nevadans and be a compelling choice for Nevada's most academically prepared. There's lots of things in that strategic plan. But that four-year matrix scholarship addresses access for all and compelling choice for the most academically prepared. And so that's the other thing we were able to do with this is expand it for all students, not just, you know, 3.6 and above.
Parliamentarian Issa, then Senator Saporito.
Parliamentarian Issa for the record. Thank you very much for your presentation. I just wanted to know that how your office has been handling the recent cuts in the federal budget with regard to student aid in recent years, and if so, how much money has been cut in federal aid to UNR?
It's a simple question with a very complicated answer. We have not seen cuts in aid to students. In fact, last year with the new FAFSA simplification, more students were actually eligible for Pell. With that said, the future is as opaque as it could possibly be, as in it's not super transparent. Some of the things that we will be watching is the elimination of the graduate plus loans. We are very concerned about that. Caps on graduate aid because it could impact students in a higher cost programs such as med school, for example. And I don't know if you want to comment and add anything else in this after I get done. So those things I do worry about. I do worry about the Pell shortfall, which they did fund, and future changes that they may make to the Pell Grant that could reduce the amount of funds that the Pell Grant has, and then how, and actually a couple weeks from now, we'll be meeting with the Nevada System of Higher Education, and that was one of the topics that I put on the agenda. I'm concerned about how we as a system and a state will respond to potential cuts in especially the grant. The Pell Grants, the gift aid from the federal government, because we will have to figure out how to make up that difference.
Yeah, so we're paying very close attention to a lot of the negotiated rulemaking taking place right now. We are aware of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act and some of the things that have been passed. The major concerns that Dr. was saying happen to be with our graduate population. So if you're aspiring to go to grad school, this could impact you.
later down the road. There aren't too many concerning things for our undergraduate students right now. For as far as the cuts with grants, a lot of that is not affecting one-to-one transfers. So because you're getting funds directly from the Department of Ed through your FAFSA, those programs like TEL and loans and things like that aren't as impacted today. But like Dr. Nguyen was saying, it's opaque. So we're paying close attention to that. We're waiting for all of the policy, procedures, best practices to come out from the Department of Ed. Once that's out, we're going to be pretty transparent with that and making sure our students are aware and making the best decisions so that way when they're going forward in their career, they can have that information.
Senator Saporito. Perfect. Any other questions at this time before we move on to our candidates?
Can I ask something?
What? Yeah, go ahead.
Let's say I want to go study abroad for the next summer. Would I still fill out the general scholarship application for 2026 to 2027, or does my 2025 to 2026 cover that already?
So the summer semester for financial aid purposes is the last semester of the current school year. So you go fall, spring, summer, and then a new cycle starts in the fall. So your general scholarship application is relevant to that, but if you're specifically studying abroad, USAC has specific scholarships for studying that you want to make sure you're also exploring. And then we also encourage you to do our summer financial aid application, which comes out later in spring, which just lets our office know that you're interested in getting aid over summer, so it's not a mandatory term for all students. And then we make sure we put the best package together for you based off of that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Of course.
Senator DeBarger, any other questions before we move on? All right. Senator DeBarger, go ahead.
Correct. So the winter semester is an early start spring course. The units you take in winter semester are inclusive of the units of spring. So if you take 3 credits over winter semester, 12 in spring, that looks like 15 credits for the semester.
All righty. Thank you so much.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, hold on, just give us 1 sec. All right, due to the fact that I had missed someone during public comment, we're gonna be moving back up to agenda item 6 for public comment. If you could just state your name and position for the record and speak loud and clear. Mark, are you here?
All right, yeah, hopefully you can hear me now, fingers crossed.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Cool. All right, my name is Mark Martuski, senior here at Nevada and president of the College of Business Student Council. And let me know when I'm good to go. Sorry, I'm just looking at a camera that keeps panning.
No, you're all good. Here we go. There you go. You're all good.
Cool, appreciate it. I just wanted to give a quick public comment in support of Luke Calderon's application for the College of Business Senator seat. I wanted to speak very briefly about how our experiences in the Business Student Council have really shaped, I think, a great, strong application for Luke. For example, with our upcoming business and bowling event that we have this Friday at the National Bowling Stadium, Luke was instrumental in really helping out the negotiations with the Reno Sparks Convention and Visitors Authority, as well as Aramark and the other services that we'll be needing for that night. I've seen him excel at tasks too in the council, so event planning, new membership duties, and he's really taken a special interest in helping all College of Business students, no matter their affiliation with the BSC. I wanted to share that he has the full support of the council, and I'm here today to urge ASUN to support his candidacy. I really wanted to keep this brief, and I want to thank you very much for taking the time to listen to my comment, and back to our regularly scheduled programming, I guess, right?
All right. Thank you so much. All right, with that being said, Senator Lawson, could you pin the main chat? So that's the biggest thing. Thank you. With that being said, we're going to skip back to agenda item 7, receipts and petitions. I'm seeking a motion to approve agenda items D and E through unanimous consent.
So moved.
So moved by Speaker Pro Tempore Moss. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Custer. Is there any dissents? Any abstentions? All right, that being said, those receipts and petitions have been approved. Moving down our list to agenda item 11, motions to fast track appointments. With that being said, I'm seeking to fast track agenda items 11C and D through unanimous consent.
So moved.
So moved by Speaker Pro Tempore Moss. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Lawson. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? All right, that being said, those nominees have been fast tracked. Moving down to agenda item 12, approval of appointments of senators and AHRQ officials. So how this is going to work, you guys are going to have 10 minutes to present, then we're going to have around 10 minutes of questions. Then the first nominee that goes, which is Mr. Luke Calderon, will come out and get our second nominee. They will come, do their presentation. We've run through this before. You guys know the drill. Once both nominees have presented, then we're going to go into a motion of debate, and then after that, we'll conclude with a vote, and then we'll invite back in the winner. After we do our College of Business applicants, then we have nominees for the chair position of Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness. And then after that, we have Senate committee reports, no cabinet reports today, thankfully. Thank you, President Agobot. Appreciate that. And then we only have one piece for second reading, so just wanted to give a timeline. All right, let me get that presentation all ready.
Great.
Yes, yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, everybody. My name is Luke Calderon. Hope you guys are all having a great night. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to present. Let's get right into it. A little bit of background about me. I'm from Palm Springs, California. I am a second year student at the College of Business, and I'm currently dual majoring in marketing management. Some of my passions include student leadership, community involvement, and volunteering. I wanted to give a little bit of my previous community experience. I'm not going to touch on all these points, but I just wanted to kind of show what I've done in the past. In high school, I was my high school's associate and student body president. I'm sure all you guys have kind of had some sort of student leadership experience, especially in high school. That kind of gave me my background in student leadership. It kind of gave me my drive to want to do more and be involved in more. And that's why I'm kind of up here standing today in front of you guys for a senator position. While during my term as ASU president, I planned our winter formals, our homecomings, our proms. I operated with a budget of $20,000. During my term, we also fundraised $30,000, which is a $20,000 increase from our previous $10,000. Great experience. Great experience kind of laying that foundation for my student leadership. I was also a Skills USA president. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with that, but what Skills USA was, national competition where you compete in many different avenues. Mine personally was video news production. So I created a news production. I was the anchor for my team. We got fourth at state, so we didn't progress to nationals, but still a great experience and a great time kind of developing those skills. I also founded and was the president of Cards for Kids. Cards for Kids on my campus, we got a group of students together and we created Cards for Kids who were sick in hospitals. I founded this with my best friend in high school. And we went from two people all the way up to 60 members. We created over 1,000 cards, and it was a great club that just kind of kept moving things forward on our campus. It's still going today, so that's awesome to see. I was also a Palm Springs Unified School District student board member. This is probably my most relevant experience to what a senator is. Once a month, I would meet with my school's administration. We'd sit, talk about the good, the bad, and things that needed change. I would take this information, put it in a slideshow similar to the one I'm presenting now, and I'll present that to my district board. I'll sit there and present for about 10 minutes, and we can read about things that we think we could do differently, things we could change, and things we could improve on. I also was a member of California Scholarship Federation, and I played basketball and baseball. Now, my current community engagement on campus, I'm a career event specialist within the Career and Corporate Outreach Center. What does this mean? I work in the College of Business. I help students with resume critiques, mock interviews, cover letter help, job and internship search. I basically help them get as professional ready as they can before they graduate college. This is my biggest passion right now. I work in the office Monday through Thursday. I see about 10 students a day, ranging from resume critiques to them sitting and just begging for career advice, career help, kind of wondering where they can go. I sit there and do that with them. It's very near and dear to my heart, and I am very passionate about that. And I love it, and I hope to continue doing that throughout all 4 years. I'm also the administrative vice president and a founding member of DECA. DECA stands for Distributive Education Clubs of America. We just started this club 2 weeks ago. I'm overseeing all the foundation work. I don't think we'll be able to compete this year. I think we'll be able to compete next fall. So we'll hopefully be traveling nationally to compete in the national competition. It's very similar to Skill USA, except it's for finance, management, hospitality, and marketing majors. I'm also the membership and social chair of the Business Student Council, like Mark just mentioned. This semester we saw record numbers. We had over 50 applicants, and we accepted over 22, which I believe is one of our biggest classes in the last 5 years. Like Mark also mentioned, we are hosting a business and bowling event this Friday. I was pretty big in the conversation with budgeting, kind of negotiating with the venue to figure out where we're going to meet on price, what we're going to do for food, everything like that. This summer, I also had a corporate partnerships intern with the Reno Aces. I really thought I wanted to get into sports management, sports marketing, and I learned that I love sports and I love working within the sports, but I don't think that's what I wanted to go through. But it did give me a great background in not only data analytics within sports, but also how to manage a budget. I found myself going to many different baseball stadiums, basketball arenas throughout my childhood, and I was wondering what the logos were. I really got a background in figuring what the price is to pay for having those logos on stadiums and different things like that. I'm also an active member of the Lambda Cal fraternity on campus, which kind of gives me a little bit more campus involvement, gets me more involved with Greek life here. And last year I was a student ambassador. I'm no longer anymore because I didn't have the time with my weekends. I gave tours on weekends. And I really enjoyed kind of seeing prospective students and their families, talking about the different things I love about the university and all the different things we have to offer. And last year I was also an ASUN legislative intern. It's great to see four of my fellow interns sitting on the Senate here today. But that gave me a great background in all the different things that the Senate does and what it means to issue the Senator. These are kind of the four pillars I'm running off of: community engagement, accountability and communication, advocacy and representation, and career readiness. Community engagement, we have 4 years in college. I want students to get as engaged as they possibly can be. I want them to participate in all the different events, get involved with clubs, and get involved with organizations. Accountability and communication, I really want to ensure there's a straight line of communication between the College of Business and different clubs and organizations here at ASUN. I want to make sure that students know what's going on, what we're talking about on a daily basis, and what is it and how it's impacting them. Advocacy and representation, I want to take their goals, ideas, and concerns and bring them here to the table and kind of get a voice for them. And then career readiness, like I've talked about, the different things that we're doing in the Career and Corporate Power Center, kind of want to bring those more to the university as a whole. Goals for the College of Business. I want to increase participation in our career events. Those are Wolfpack Shadows, Industry Insider Speaker Series, Career Fairs, Prepare for the Fairs, and Networking Events, about an additional 10%. I want to increase collaboration between the ASUN and our College of Business clubs. And I also want to create a College of Business Senator Semester Report Card, which shows what all the different senators in the College of Business voted for and how that has directly impacted our College of Business students. Goals for ASUN as a whole, I want to create career services Canvas courses for every college within the university. This is a very ambitious goal. We did it within the College of Business, and we've seen increases in participation across all of our events. I want to expand the PAT-friendly business discount program to 5+ locations. I believe I can do that with the background that I gained during my corporate partnerships intern with ACES this summer. I know different companies who I feel like would be willing to give an additional discount to our students. And I want to collaborate with the Department of Government Affairs to increase university-wide civic engagement during election. Pieces I plan to execute. So on the left, I have the College of Business Career Services module, like I mentioned. I was part of the team that directly integrated this into the College of Business. All college business students are on this. This is laid out clearly what our event dates are, what our events actually are, and how students can get involved with them. All they have to do is click on the different events and they can see all the information about it. Like I said, I was part of the team that brought this to the College of Business, and I believe this could easily be a standard to set forth for all colleges here at the university. I believe all students need to have the opportunity to be as professional ready as they can be before they graduate, and I believe this is a great way to do that. And then on the right, I have the piece that I created as my final project as an intern. It's a resolution to incorporate more career readiness activities and classes into pre-business classes. I kind of want to scrap that just to pre-business classes and make it prerequisite classes as a whole for the university. I want more students to be as career ready as they can be before they graduate. And that is about it. I would love to answer all questions.
Alrighty, thank you. Any questions at this time? Senator Lawson.
Hello, thanks for your presentation. You mentioned you were an intern for this past session. I was wondering why you didn't run for this session and chose to apply.
So at the end of the term of my internship with an ASUN, I felt like I didn't have the time. I felt like I didn't really have the drive. I felt like I wouldn't be able to do this to the best of my ability. A lot of different things in my schedule have appeared up. I've dropped some things that haven't really been serving me as far as time and effort wise, and I've kind of freed up a lot of time in my schedule, and I feel like now I'm able to do it to the best of my ability, and that's why I'm choosing right now.
Senator, you have another question?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So are you worried about running into the same issue with ASUN in regards to time? I know you mentioned that you're no longer a student mentor due to time constraints.
No, I'm not worried about that at all. I have my Wednesdays blocked off, open up a lot of time. The student ambassador was mainly, I would only give tours on the weekends, and I got busy on my weekends. I started picking up shifts for different jobs at the weekend, and I wasn't able to give tours anymore, so that's kind of the reason I had to drop that. Not worried about time constraints for the center position at all.
Senator Kitch.
I would love to join Academic Student Affairs and Budget and Finance. Stephen Spurlock, I was very close to him. I know he sat in the chair as Budget and Finance. He always told me great things about it. He always told me that I should get involved with it more because I was an intern. He always encouraged me to come sit down. I had very close and personal talks with him about Budget and Finance and what kind of goes on within the university's budget. And I kind of just want to learn more, so I feel like Budget and Finance is one. And Academic Student Affairs, I don't know too much about it, but I would love to sit in and learn more.
Senator Barris.
I'll set a virtual record. It's nice to see you compete at Skills USA because I also did that in high school. It's a great experience. But my question is, at times the Senate table can get heated and conflict can arise. How do you resolve conflict to ensure the student voice is kept in mind?
That's a great question. I mean, I feel like even when we were interns, I feel like our student table would still get pretty heated and we'd have very rough discussions at the table. I feel like just keeping in mind that we're all human. We all want to feel heard. We all want to feel seen. It was something that I did very well as an intern. Just kind of avoid conflict as much as possible at the table and just make sure it stays strictly business is what I would do.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Speaker Pro Tempore Moss and Senator Dayton.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your presentation. I thought it was great. My question for you, I just have one question. What was your biggest takeaway from your experience in the association last year, and how are you going to use that if elected tonight in your position as a senator?
Yeah, my biggest takeaway was stay involved with the university. That was huge. I think Carmina really hammered that into just staying involved, whether that's joining clubs, whether that's joining an organization, whether that's being an ASUN, staying involved in different things and just making sure you show up is huge. And I think that's pretty easily doable. I mean, I've been very involved with the College of Business. I'm in two College of Business clubs, and I feel like just showing up, staying involved, and being active is what I do.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Senator Dayton.
Senator Dayton, for the record. I'm curious, you're a marketing major. What drew you to marketing specifically, and like, what's your passion for business? Awesome. What are your end goals for your business?
Awesome. So end goals career-wise, I would love to end up being a CEO of a company. Now that's very big, very ambitious. I'm also looking at some venture capital right now post-college. I have some friends down in the Bay who have gotten into that sort of work. When I was choosing my major, I always thought, I want to be a manager or something. I want to make sure that things get done efficiently. I want to make sure that we're all on the same page as far as that aspect. That's why I chose management and marketing. I love to market things. I feel like ever since I was a kid, I was marketing myself. I was marketing different items. My dad's a sales manager, so I always saw him market his dealership, market his cars, and that's kind of what inspired me to do that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, thank you. You want to invite Lance in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Alright, hello everybody. My name is Lance Zinniga. Thank you for your time today. I just want to say, and then this will be my presentation for the Senate candidacy. Alright, so just a little bit about me. I'm a junior, I'm an accounting major, I'm an executive board member of my fraternity, Lambda Chi Alpha. I'm the vice president of judicial affairs for the Independent Interfraternity Council as well. I was a College of Business senator candidate for this session, the 93rd session. I'm a first-gen college student, and I'm fluent in three languages, those being English, Spanish, and Armenian. Alright, a little bit of relevant experience. This past fall, I was a BizFit mentor. There, I was able to communicate effectively with my group to kind of harvest an environment of teamwork and development. When entering college, I understand it's like a scary environment for these freshmen, so it was important to foster that environment where they can work together in a team and kind of develop and understand that college is a little bit different than high school and have that smooth transition. As well as that, kind of going more into that, just to get more immersed into the university, understand the differences and advantages of being in the university as opposed to high school and having to work together and knowing that you're not alone moving forward. Other than that, as Vice President of Judicial Affairs of the Independent Interfraternity Council, I organized distribution this fall of over 300 bids, and then I serve as the Chair and Chief Justice of the IIFC Judicial Committee. On top of that, I just recently wrote some new legislation for the IIFC pertaining to discipline. I was, as the Executive Board Member of Lambda Chi Alpha, each year we manage a budget of over $100,000. On top of that, we use that budget to plan things such as our biannual banquets and our alumni mixers. Delving briefly into my goals. So campus-wise, I want to improve student-athlete engagements with ASUM. Athletics are a huge part of every single university, and while they're not, they don't have a huge presence here, their presence still brings a lot of student engagement. And in my personal opinion, students make the university, not the other way around. So getting students more engaged, even if that's through athletics, is an important way to move forward. Next, I want to work closely with the first-gen center to improve student quality of life. As a first-gen college student myself, it's really important that first-gen college students understand that they're not alone in that, just like every other student. There's no disadvantages to that, and that it's important to acknowledge that and have the resources available to them. Next, for ASUN, I want to address the committees that I have an interest in. And then I'll delve deeper into it later in the presentation, but I want to create a donation space for incoming outgoing freshmen and their dorm boards. Next, for the College of Business, I want to increase student visibility with higher admin. Going into that, goals that I was talking about with campus, I want to work closely with that first-gen center to improve student quality of life, and with that, I want to bring in higher faculty of the university, have them that were first-gen, and I want to have them talk to first-gen students at the university. Growing up, it was a huge debate just among myself, whether or not coming through elementary school, middle school, high school, was I going to be able to go to college. Either my parents did it, which makes me think I can do it. I want them to know that there are people higher up that have succeeded in life that were in the same position that they were at, and they're just the exact same, but who's to say that they can do that as well. Going into the student athletics, like I said, athletics kind of make that student engagement, especially at this university and others. So I want to improve that by doing more events like the Homecoming Parade. First year, bringing back the Homecoming Parade, I believe that was a massive success. Doing more events like that with different sports, such as basketball, which has, in my opinion, even higher student engagement than football, would be awesome. And it would just bring more students out. And with that rise in freshman registration, we could see that go even higher, just keeping that and introducing events like that, and just students knowing that that's something they're being part of here at the University of Nevada. So next up, with ASUN, going more into that donation space, moving into the dorms, especially for people that are doing it, you know, for the first time that aren't transferred, it's not a lot. You have a lot to do, and a lot to have, and then once you move in, you're still not even sure that you're fully moved in. So I want to create a donation space for outcoming freshmen to donate some of their old university-approved appliances, such as mini fridges, and then hold those in a space for incoming freshmen, just to kind of save their extra dollar on that. And then committees I've taken an interest in are the committees on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and then the committee on government operations. So for the College of Business, pretty big. Increased student visibility with higher ed. What does that mean? Well, there's typically kind of a disconnect between, I understand that's why ASUN, organizations like ASUN exist, bridge that gap between the student in the admin, and honestly, it seems like just from my freshman year to now in the past 2 years, I've been able to see a lot of improvement, notably in the business building. But other than that, I want to keep that train moving. I want to keep that train going. I want to be able to make sure that not just within the College of Business, but in other colleges, that student voices are heard with upper faculty members, and that their concerns, but not only that, their improvements are met to higher faculty and are seen by the right people, so that way their opportunities have an opportunity to be shared. And with that, thank you.
Artie, thank you so much for your time and your presentation. Are there any centers who would like to start us off with questions? Put those hands out far and wide. Hold on. Bardwaj, Barris, DeBarger, Kitch, Saporito. Any others? Dayton. Any others? All right, list goes as follows. Bardwaj, Barris, DeBarger, Kitch, Saporito, and Dayton. Senator Bardwaj, go ahead and start us off.
Thank you for your presentation. I just have one question. You said you wanted to increase visibility with higher College of Business admin. Couple questions, actually. Like, first, how would you specifically accomplish this? Like, what kind of admins in the College of Business would you talk to? And B, why do you uniquely have to be a center to accomplish this?
Could you repeat that last part again?
Why would you uniquely have to be a center to accomplish this?
So that's kind of what I was going for, is that at least recently, so to address your first part of your question, the dean would honestly be a huge one. But further than that, just people that work up higher in the College of Business, or even people that would be able to get in front of him. And then it's not that you necessarily need to be a senator, but there is an aspect that a lot of students don't understand about that, that, hey, you can actually walk up there or email him or talk to the right people to get in front of him to have that. And that's kind of what I want. Like, that's what I want people to understand moving forward, because that's not necessarily clear. So moving forward, that's something that I think could be awesome. And then being on ASUN, speaking with the dean and other faculty members to kind of have more of an open door policy, I understand their schedules are busy, so are ours, but to have just some time for students to actually be able to go and interact with the people running their college, I think could be super valuable for their experience.
Do you have any others? Okay. Senator Barris.
Senator Barris, for the record, thank you so much for your presentation. My only question is, at times the Senate table can get heated and conflict can arise. How do you resolve conflict to ensure the student voice is kept in mind?
In time of conflict, it's really important just to stay cordial. I understand things can get heated. There's a lot of important things talked about at this table, and it's really important to be cordial with each other and to understand where both people are coming from and foster an environment where people can talk about things in a calm way.
Senator DeBarger.
Hi, Ms. Good to see you. Thank you for the presentation. You mentioned that you had written legislation, I believe, pertaining to WISC. Can you elaborate a little bit on that process?
Yeah, so without, you know, taking up too much time or going super in-depth about it, going on with kind of Senator Paris's question, actually, there was certain conflicts that arose between members of our organization, and then as the Vice President of Judicial Affairs, I took that upon myself to, going forward, make legislation on how to kind of deal with that. So I put measures in place when issues occur or incidents have been incited, that number one, I made sure that everyone signs an agreement, because there weren't any in our existing bylaws, that we have a certain amount of conduct and respect for each other within the organization to work together cohesively and, you know, as quickly as we can. And then in that specific clause that I put pertains to punishment. So minor, medium, and major, and then I put specific punishments regarding to those incidents and then examples of those incidents too. Kind of as an outline moving forward, that if members are gonna, you know, act a certain way or have that sort of attitude, that this is gonna be the punishment following, so there's kind of something there.
I'm brief.
Go ahead.
So you wrote that piece.
Yeah.
You authored that piece, and then it was passed by the WISC board.
Yes. Okay.
Senator Kitch.
As a fellow first-gen student, I really appreciate all of your work with that. Can you expand a little bit more on what you want to do with your office and office exactly?
Yeah, so prior to this presentation, and while I was running for the first time around this spring, I just wanted to brought you was the University of Northern Ireland, first-gen center, because I knew that was a thing. Number one, I just kind of want to increase the visibility of that. A lot of the first-gen students that I talk about at the university don't even understand that their freshman year, that I think it's such a first impact, that that's even a resource for them to kind of be available to. So I want to make that known that that resource is available, and that I want them to know that there's people in the university, in ASUN, and other school-sponsored organizations that were first-gen and that they can be involved and just keep on going just as any other student.
Senator Saporito and Senator Dayton.
Thank you for your presentation. Thank you for having you come out and present to us. Regarding one of your pieces, I believe it was a student donation for the dorms. Have you analyzed anything regarding the storage aspect for student donations? Would it require more workers, student workers, faculty? Would it have to be in a separate location? Do you have any information on that?
Yeah, so that was definitely something that I thought about, and then kind of going through and understanding, at least from my personal understanding of kind of where the Fieldhouse project is going to be built, or in that athletics section, there's actually quite a bit of empty or unused space. Now, according to athletics, I have no idea what their position is on that, like what it's allegedly supposed to be used for or currently being used for, but that's a possibility, as well as, yeah, we might have to move somewhere off-site, maybe in close proximity. I don't know if student workers or faculty workers are a necessity as part of that. I think it could be part of that initiative where volunteers come out and help students move into the dorms. It can be something like that, where you have volunteers from the college and older students coming in and kind of helping out and foster that. I don't necessarily know if having more student faculty is the answer for that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Senator Dayton.
Hi, I really enjoyed your presentation. Thanks for coming out tonight. So my question is, you talked about increasing engagement and interaction between athletics and ASUN. What is your specific action plan for that goal?
So when it comes to athletics, I don't necessarily mean organizing like a whole new homecoming event just for basketball or just for other sports, but getting representatives from student athletics out here to talk to us about that. And just maybe even just getting students that are super passionate about athletics here to talk about what part of the athletics games are super engaging for them, and like what makes students come out for that. Because in my personal opinion, like I said, those athletics games and those bring out so many students, and they're so passionate about the university. And I want to bring that sort of passion and that light into different areas, not just athletics. So I want to bring students in here. I want to bring athletes in here. Possible to bring coaches in here just to kind of see how that environment is and then recreate that environment somewhere else as best as possible.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I have another question that's somewhat unrelated. So you are an accounting major. What drew you to accounting and the College of Business in general? What are your future career goals? What brought you to, what made you decide to be an accounting major and what brought you to the College of Business? And what are your future career goals?
Yeah, so close friend of mine, his older brother was just a recent graduate. He's actually a senior scholar at the College of Business. He was an accounting major. We went to high school together briefly, and now we're neighbors. And just talking to him a lot, kind of leading up to going into college, I was like, wow, accounting really sounds like an interesting concept. I really like looking at numbers, really like Excel, really like that organizational part of it. What's that? And then your second part was?
Oh, your future career goals.
No, future career goals. As of right now, I initially started this year thinking I wanted to be a CPA, and then kind of talking to more CPAs and interacting with them. I don't know if that's necessarily the direction I want to go. I still want to keep looking in that direction, but CMA, CPA, or CJNA.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All righty. I had one quick question just for the record, just for pronunciation. How do you say your first and last name?
Lance Zuniga.
Okay. Perfect. Any other questions? All right. Thank you so much. Senator Lawson, would you like to bring us back to the Zoom? Thank you. Yeah. Oh, you gotta go to the top right and then expand it. Yep, there you go. All right. Now we'll be moving on to debate. Are there any senators who would like to start us off with debate? Put your hands up far and wide. Huang, Moss, Bardwaj, Saporito, Lawson, McAndrews. Any others? Villa. Any others? All right, list goes as follows. Huang, Moss, Bardwa, Chaparito, Lawson, McAndrews, and Villa. Senator Huang starts off.
Hey, guys. Senator Huang, for record. So I just want to say I think I'm going to be voting for the I might abstain just because it's conflict of interest for that reason. But just besides that, I think Luke is just more qualified. I think he has a lot of on-campus experience, a lot of campus involvement. He's really big on outreach, big on community engagement. And I just think Luke is I don't know. I think being a senator is the most important part about it is outreach. And I think Luke checks all the boxes. He knows what he wants to do. He knows what his goals are. And I think
Go ahead. Does the body get permission for Luis to speak? Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Luis Aguilar, for the record. Senator Huang, unmasked, what do you think you feel you have a conflict of interest?
Well, he's also a member of the Sister Council. That's
pretty much it. Sounds more like you have a bias. So please. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Senator, or Speaker Pro Tempore Moss.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think we had two really good candidates tonight. I'm going back and forth. I'm leaning towards Mr. Calderon at this point. I'm more so impressed by Luke Calderon's experience with not only the association, just but beyond. To echo what Senator Huang said, I think his connections in the College of Business, working with Business Student Council, is so important. I think he could hit the ground running, especially with the education he got from President Agobot last year. We would be able to just go straight into it with Senator with Mr. Calderon. So I'm leaning towards Mr. Calderon right now, but if there's any other points for the other candidate, I'd love to hear it. So with that, I yield.
Senator Barquash.
Yeah, I was going to yield because I don't want to be the dead horse if we're all going to vote the same way, but given what Speaker Pro Tem Moss said, I'll kind of like give my thoughts. I guess I think Calderon's a pretty chill guy. Like he was an intern, you know, so he knows what's going on. I don't want to like really dive into him because like he just, you know, like I think we all understand that he just knows what's going on and his resume speaks for itself. Just seems like a genuine put together guy, answered questions really well. Zuniga, I think that like there's a lot of things that are like call for speculation, like his goal specifically. Like I think the biggest thing that comes out to me is Senator Saporito asked this question about the innovation space for like incoming and outgoing freshmen in the dorms, and asked if there was any like previous analysis done by him on that like issue, and he said that the field house has a lot of open space, which is interesting because I don't think it's been built yet. So not sure how that would have open space, but also like first gen awareness is pretty, I thought that a lot of the goals were pretty vague, which is dissimilar to Calderon. And then increasing visibility with higher like College of Business admin, he kind of agreed that you don't really need to be a senator to accomplish it. He's a junior, so I think that definitely could have had some previous outreach done in the past. But also like pretty chill guy, like both of them seem pretty chill. So like if you're leaning one way or the other, I don't think it's a huge deal, but I would towards Calderon because I think that she's the more put together candidate with more experience, and he's chill.
All right, thank you, Senator Bardwaj. Senator Saporito.
I don't want to be dense, I think I can answer you. I was just going to say his donation idea, the place hasn't been built yet. It wasn't addressed to them, but they were opposed to adding refrigerators into the building, so I don't know if it'd be in concurrence with having a whole storage system, and there's a lot of liability that goes into that with university policy, they have to make sure it's not risk viable, and that, you know, if a refrigerator catches on fire somehow, or a wire is broken because it has been used, that the student can't sue the university or anything like that. I think it's a really good idea, but I also am voting in favor of food currently.
Who made the motion first?
What?
She did.
Go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say, in regards to Pack Origin's food storage field house, earlier regarding that, I spoke with Director Remby and Superintendent Paul Bernard last month. They both had said, that it was never a conversation in a serious, concrete sense of a plan. That Pack Origins and students from ASU had said, hey, we need help with space for Pack Origins and food and whatnot. And they said, yes, of course, we'll help. But they never once promised that that would be in the field house.
Sorry, but Casey.
Never, that was never said.
Appointment information, when I heard him say up by the field house. I never heard inside the field house. So there's like a lot of assumptions, like we're talking about suing people all of a sudden. So like literally possibly like a nice.
Hold on. Does the body get permission for Luis to speak? Go ahead.
Thank you. Luis Aguilar, Associate Director for the record. Thank you for the conversation piece. You're correct. It is not right now anywhere near the field house. There's no room, there's no agreement. Conversation piece that Senator McKenzie said maybe up by the field house might be a piece, but no, there is nothing that says that there's going to be a PAC provisions in the field house. So please, in that narrative, because that's not going to happen right now.
Sorry, McKenzie was up.
I'm pretty certain, I don't know if you guys heard that way, up by the field house is the words that I heard. That's what you heard as well. That's where, like, I don't want to, like, make, like, a total, like, we're debunking what he wants to do based upon, like, simply maybe we misheard him.
Go ahead.
Sorry for misspeaking on that.
No, I mean, I could be misspeaking as well.
You can both apologize. I was going to say, regarding the student, yeah, I know that sounds like crazy. I was just saying, there's going to be a lot of red tape. With students donating their own equipment, and this university, when it's donated to them, the university will have ownership of that equipment. So if that equipment is faulty in any other way, they have to make sure that they are not left liable for any circumstances like that. If, when you said it's next to the field house, we possibly would have to make it a separate building, more infrastructure. So it's a really good concept to think about, but there's a lot to plan on. That's all I was trying to say.
Senator Lawson, then Senator McAndrews.
I just want to preface that I do know Lance and I have worked with Lance through the FC. However, I'm still remaining unbiased and giving both candidates a fair chance. I think both candidates have a lot of great experience and good goals, although they both seem to have very big goals for the quality of business. I think they both have good goals for the association and for on campus. I think that Luke not running for Senate after being an intern due to like scheduling conflicts and not having time, and then also mentioning that he dropped one of his positions due to time, it kind of makes me worried about if he's going to be as president in the association. I know he mentioned that he could be free on Wednesdays, but as we all know, it's more than just being there on Wednesdays. It's about doing your outreach, going to your committee meetings, volunteering for events, really working for the students instead of just coming to meeting every Wednesday. And even though the field house hasn't been built yet, I think that the fact that Lance has thought of possibilities for storage and who would run the event really shows how much thought he's already put into this idea instead of just coming up with it, throwing it on a slide, and then having to deal with it later. So.
Senator McAndrews and Senator Villa.
So I feel very like either candidate would be amazing. I do want to say I did get a little nervous when we did hear one of the candidates was an ASUN intern, because I don't want to judge that candidate just solely based because he's an ASUN intern, right? That's why would any of us be here if we weren't all like ASUN interns? Second, our other candidate actually wrote legislation. Not to say the first one didn't either, but as far as any senator, when it comes to ideas, it might seem outlandish, it might seem like something crazy, but those are some of the best ideas that bring some of the coolest programs that we've probably seen. How did PAC rides even begin? Or PAC divisions, right? So we cannot like discount one person over the other, especially if someone has previous ties to AACMI. So if there is any conversation about just knowing the association, I don't think we should consider that as our main leaning point to a certain candidate.
I hate to intervene in discussion, but technically both candidates did write some... did write some foreign legislation. One wrote legislation for the double IFC, and one wrote legislation. He was a Senate intern, so technically both have, just for the record. Senator Villa.
Do you want to extend time?
Hold on, wait, we're at 10 minutes. I'm seeking a motion to extend debate by 10 minutes through unanimous consent.
So moved.
So moved by Speaker Pro Tempore Moss, is our second. Second by Parliamentarian Issa, is there any dissent? Any abstentions? All right, that being said, debate has been extended by 10 minutes. Go ahead.
Hi guys, Senator Bill with the record, but I just wanted to say that like a lot of my points have already been like voiced and echoed in the chamber, but before I yield, I just want to point out that Quarterson's plans compared to like generally how plans are presented in a lot of these like Senate candidate presentations were extremely specific. I was really impressed. They're specific, realistic, and most importantly, feasible. He has the outreach like experience and also the departmental experience that like outlines what we as senators do. And I feel like he would be like great to collaborate with, especially for events and you know whatever we do. So that's why I will be leaning towards him tonight. Thank you.
Senator Huang.
So just kind of quickly on Lance's goal, I just want to say like I am an RA. That's actually like donating, recycling old fridges and old microwaves and other furniture has been thought of and done by Res Life before. And I don't know if he like reached out to Res Life about that, but I think the main reason like we haven't done it in previous years is what Senator Zaffirio was saying, like there's a liability of giving the university giving you something, right? And then on top of that, like storage, right? Which is something that like we all face, and I'm certain Res Life is looking through it. And
Speaker Pro Tempore Moss.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just kind of wanted to talk about your points, Senator Lawson, about why he didn't run after the internship. I want to be clear, because we have interns in the audience as well. It is their decision at the end of the day to make the decision whether they want to run, explore different parts of campus, or even different parts of the association. I don't think we should discount him simply because he chose not to run. I don't know the candidates, but we have four interns here. A bunch chose to run and sadly didn't win their seats. So I would probably say, I don't wanna weight that too much, because also I don't wanna like pressure. I've said it in my internship meetings with my interns as well, is that we shouldn't be putting pressure on them to run for Senate simply because they were a Senate intern. Just because it's their first steps into the association. And so if they want to explore different parts of the association or explore different parts of campus, we should be encouraging that. And it sounds like Mr. Calderon wanted to explore different parts of campus. He was a student ambassador. He's done work in the Business Student Council. He just chose to take a different path than other interns have, like Senator Issa or Senator Castro. So I want to make sure that we're not discounting him simply just because he didn't run, because he didn't have the time commitment. It sounds like he made a different commitment, and now those commitments aren't present, so he's feeling like he could represent the College of Business. So I want to make sure I, like, not set the record straight, just because, you know, I run the Senate internship, but I just want to be clear, like, we shouldn't just be banking on interns running for Senate after, or pressuring them to do so. So I just wanted to sit, like, yeah.
Heard. Senator Lawson.
My point was more so, I just want to say it was time availability rather than him not running after the internship. I agree, I don't think we should discredit someone just because they didn't run after the internship, but I just want to clarify that my point was more so on time availability.
Yeah. Anyway, and then to Senator Lawson, I totally understand where you're coming from. I just wanted to make sure that I stated my two cents, just because we have interns in the audience as well. So I just want to make sure I totally agree with you. I see your point. So, yeah.
Senator McAndrews.
Okay, I am still very torn between both of our candidates. I kind of have a question for all of us then. If other people are also feeling torn, And I'm not completely sold on one or the other. Like, what is a value that we would want to see in someone that's sitting at the table? And how can we go about that tonight?
Okay. I'm going to go with the original order. So we're going to go Dayton, then Custer, and Harris.
Yeah, so that's actually something I wanted to speak on. I'm the newest senator to this table, and adjusting and being a new senator like halfway through the session is really difficult. And I think the thing that helped most with that transition for me personally is just enthusiasm. And from the two candidates, I think there was like clearly more enthusiasm from the side of, Luke, I don't remember his last name. He's already shown like involvement in, I think him being an ambassador is just very indicative of his passion and love for the university. That's not a paid position. Same thing with being part of the student council, being an intern. Like, he's going out of his way to be involved, to make time. He didn't run for the Senate last year out of respect for what the Senate does. He knew he didn't have enough time. I think like him being self-aware now that he can run, I trust that instinct. And I just think like he has the enthusiasm and this desire to connect with people, as evidenced by his like his history and what he did in high school, and like his just love for school and like institutions of education. I think makes him a perfect fit for the Senate, especially coming in halfway through the session.
Senator Custer and Senator Barris.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that, like, you know, part of our job, too, is not just assessing personality as well, but also, like, qualifications. And I think that both candidates seem like they're great senators. I think they both do their job as well. But at the end of the day, we have two candidates, and they're both great. You know, we got to do a little more critical thinking, saying, okay, which one's better? Is it? And, you know, we got to consider all factors. But I do think that Luke does have more experience in student government just because of, like, the past. I mean, I also served on the board of trustees as a student representative, too. You learn so much from that. It is a great experience, and it's very remarkable this. And I'm also kind of middle where I really like both candidates, but in terms of we have to pick one, and I would say that experience it shows a lot too. You have like just a plethora of experience, and specifically student government. I think that helps a lot. So, and I do think the internship is valuable too, because you know coming in knowing what we do and how we do it, it takes a little bit of that learning curve away, which is kind of nice. And I don't think that's something that we should definitely is not a negative by any means. So.
Senator Barris.
Yeah, Senator McAndrews, to your point, I think when I was a little on the fence as well, but after hearing some of the discussion, I definitely am leaning more towards Mr. Calderon, only because he's a little more well-rounded. I think that with his experience, he brings something really great to the table. I think both these candidates have written legislation, and both of them have taken some time away from the association and come back, which I think is an incredible thing on both of their behalfs, but I definitely think Mr. Calderon, he's very well-spoken on his experiences. He's definitely very passionate about being involved on campus, which is another important aspect of being a senator. So at this time, I'm personally leaning towards Mr. Calderon only because of how well-rounded he is and how well-versed and well-spoken he is.
Senator Castro, then Senator DeBarger.
I actually want to play off the point that Senator Nate brought up, which is to say that the enthusiasm that someone has for this association and also university is a really great way of measuring how likely that we would deal with what is a really hard thing during the session fairly, or at least like halfway through. And I have to say, as someone who experienced Mr. Calderon through the internship, we were both in leadership at the same time, and we were Tim Moore, now president of the BOT, I believe Luke is in no lacking of enthusiasm. In fact, what he brings to the table as interns was that enthusiasm and also that incredibly interesting curiosity to know more and to be able to do more. And I'd actually like to echo the sentiments of other senators in saying that choosing not to serve when you know you will not be able to fulfill the proper roles and positions of the Senate is, I think, more mature and showcases greater character instead of just running and knowing that you won't be able to give it your all. So that's all I'll say.
Senator DeBarger, then Senator Bardwaj.
To your question, Senator McAndrews, I think something that's really important is diversifying the table, and I really like that Lance said that he wanted to communicate better with the First Gen Center as a first generation.
Do you have a minute and 30 left? Senator Bardwaj, go ahead.
Point of information, is anyone still like torn? Okay, then I guess I'll speak. I was going to motion the previous question, but I guess that would be dissented. I'll just kind of go line by line and talk about whatever.
Well, hold on. Don't go line by line. We have a minute left. I'm seeking motion to extend debate by 5 minutes through unanimous consent.
So moved
by Senator Bardwaj. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Atkinson. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? All right, that being said, debate has been extended by 5 minutes.
Actually, I'll probably end up yielding on second thought. I kind of retweet everything everyone has said. Like, I think that Senator Dayton put it very well. I think that, like, you know, he took his time from ASU and chose to come back. I think that speaks volume because he had respect for the association to not overcommit and, you know, go for the paid position and, you know, like, a high prestige role. Not to say that, like, the positions that he has currently aren't as high prestige, but, like, there's definitely, like, I think, levels to this in terms of, like, university outreach, and I think that he has a lot of respect for the association, which should not be taken lightly, and the fact that he was an ASU intern isn't, I don't think, being used by all of us to discount Lance. I think that it's just something that gives Luke a little bit of an edge. I don't think that's, like, a subconscious bias or anything. I think that is a logical, like, conclusion. I think that that experience is definitely relevant and shows that when he gets started, he will immediately be able to just go. You know, I think that the last project he worked on, which was writing a piece of legislation, is definitely indicative of that, that he still has that drive and that experience to just, like, come in and get started on outreach and writing legislation, which is, like, low-key the point of what we're doing here. So I think that that speaks volume, and I think that the qualifications speak for themselves.
Sorry, Lucchese.
I'm listening to the previous question.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? All right. With that being said, we're going to be moving into a vote for our candidates. When you are called by your last name, you'll give the last name of the candidate you would like. Mr. Calderon or Mr. Zuniga. So, all right. Are we ready for a vote?
Atkinson?
Calderon.
Barris?
Calderon.
Bourgeois?
Bardwash.
Yeah.
Calderon.
Bolander?
Calderon.
Castro?
Castro.
Calderon. Dayton? DeBarger? Evans?
Calderon.
Huang?
Calderon.
Issa?
Calderon.
Kitch?
Not present.
She's not present.
Custard?
Calderon.
Lawson?
Boy.
I'm sorry?
Boy.
Lucchese?
Calderon.
McAndrews? Moss?
Calderon.
Radke?
Calderon.
Taparito?
Calderon.
Villa?
Calderon.
Okay, 16.
16
Calderon, 1 Lant, and Oi.
1 Oi.
1 Oi.
You want to invite due to the fact that unfortunately there's only one seat, we're only able to pick one of you. But I will say, debate was very good. There was a lot of torn emotions and mixed feelings about having both of you here. We'd love for both of you to serve in the Senate, but unfortunately, like I said, there's only one seat. But I'd like to congratulate Mr. Luke Calderon. All right.
You do have to get the vote.
Stand here.
Yeah, I think he's got it.
Oh, got it? Cool. I do solemnly swear. I state your name.
I am Calderon.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the Associated Students.
That I will support the Constitution of the Associated Students.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties of the office.
Discharge the duties of the office.
On which I'm about to enter.
On which I'm about to enter.
Congratulations, Senator Calderon.
Thank you.
Righty. Congratulations to our newest senator. Just have a seat wherever you may please. Alrighty, with that being said, we're moving back up to agenda item 7C. I'm seeking motion to approve agenda item 7C through unanimous consent. So moved by Senator Guaduas. Is there a second?
Second
by Senator Villa. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? Alright, that being said, that receipt has been approved. Moving down our list. Moving down the list to agenda item 12D. For the Chair of Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness. I did not bring my script. I believe how this works is somebody is going to nominate someone, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. It's been a minute. Sorry, guys. I should know this stuff. Alrighty. Would anybody... I forgot the language of how this is done. Speaker Pro Tempore Moss, would you like to go ahead?
Yeah. So I'll just do this. You nominate somebody, and then it does not require a second. It just... the person has to accept the nomination. You say, I nominate the Honorable Senator blank, blank, blank for the position of Chair on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness. And with that, I nominate the Honorable Senator Barris from the College of Public... or the School of Public Health to the position of Chair of Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness.
Senator Barris, do you accept?
I accept.
Are there any other... are there any nominations at this time? All right. Let me get your presentation ready, and then we'll get started. And how this is going to work, you're going to have 5 minutes to present, and then we'll do 5 minutes of questions, and then we'll move into a debate. And then we'll go from there.
Alrighty, so Anna Barris, who am I? I'm a third-year pre-medical honors student majoring in public health and human development with a minor in chemistry. I'm a first-generation student. I'm a senator for the School of Public Health, as mentioned previously. I'm really passionate about helping people. As a future healthcare provider, I have a strong sense of service and being a public servant within my community. I'm very, very, very involved on campus. Please see the extra document with my extracurriculars. I love being involved on campus. I think it's a great way to bridge campus belonging and then just making new friends and forming connections. And then hobbies, academic weaponry. I'm at the library like almost every other day till midnight. I like line dancing and sometimes sleeping. And then a little bit of my qualifications for the chair. I'm currently the vice chair of the committee. I took notes when we could not have a secretary present, filling in the role and updating the secretary's office with the minutes. I have a role within Safety Week, planning an event with the Department of Nutrition. I hand out little packets of recipes for healthy drinks. They're still in the office if you want to check them out. And then having an understanding of future cancer in the community, which is a good transition, ensuring we can stay committed to our values as a committee. I've had multiple leadership roles on campus, which is a community position to lead the community and engage with each committee member with their goals. I was HealthFit mentor this past year. I'm president of Leakey Honor Society, and I'm an undergraduate TA for Bio-192. And then I'm already familiar with the current process of posting agendas and being a chair for meetings. I have the ability to reach out if I do need help, hold myself accountable, and I'm very, very adaptable. And I already have a background knowledge which allows for more of a simple transition with the committee. And then going into a little bit about our goals, so having a continued purpose of our committee, carrying on previous Senator Levy's goals within the committee, strengthening liaison positions within the committee, having individual meetings to check in on senators. Each senator has their own individual goals of what they want to accomplish, and I kind of want to help facilitate that. And then continuing with the accessibility and safety walks and essentials with the dorm hall on campus, which is something Senator Levy wanted to continue. And then finding ways to involve the committee more within the community, which means volunteering, helping out local businesses, and then attending community events. And then directly working with the Departments of Wellness and Sustainability. They're small, but very, very mighty departments. And I want to make sure that we can help them with their initiatives. With the Department of Sustainability, excuse me.
I'm promoting the SNIT, which is the Sustainable Nevada Initiative Fund. If a student has a great idea of how we can be more sustainable on campus, we definitely want to hear that idea out and make sure that we can carry forward with that. And then planning events as a community to put ourselves out there more and interact with students is great for outreach, and then drafting legislation later on. And then promoting active change around our campus, not just on campus. A lot of our students live off campus, and we want to promote that safety all throughout the Reno area. And having direct outreach within our student body, doing surveys, and having face-to-face conversation, which is super important. And then talking to resources, campus resources on their perspective, which also gives the opportunity for legislation. And I talk very fast. I'm a very anxious person. But if you have any questions about that, this is kind of happy to do.
All right, any questions for Senator Barris, Senator Custer?
So as you may know, coffee can arrive at the Senate table. It can be very heated at times. How do you deal with conflict if it were to arise?
So me personally, conflict, it's very, I think it's good for us to have productive conversations at the table, and I know that we're all very passionate about stuff at this table, and definitely conflict can arise. I'm a person who does face conflict on a daily basis. I definitely tend to take a step back, rethink my actions and what I may have done to provoke this person in a negative way, and then taking steps to make sure that we can clear it up and making sure that the conversation drives forward. So this means like going down on their level, being like, hey, I heard this. I think it's super important that you understand this, and then just making sure we have a productive conversation.
Senator Saporito.
Thank you for the presentation. If you could only do one thing as chair during the session, what would you want to accomplish in SSW?
I think definitely I would want to have more events on campus within the committee of sustainable and safety and wellness. I think that as senators, we're definitely just like, I think it's like more discouraged to hold events, but I think it's a great way to connect with students. And I'm a little biased because I do come from an event planning background, but definitely I want us to be more involved and more face-to-face with the students, and I think that's one of the important ways to get our face like out there in the community as well.
Any other? Senator Villa.
What changes would you like to make to SSW currently that we aren't doing right now? Like, what things would you like to change about how the committee is being run currently?
That's a really good question. I think that I want to have, I mentioned a little bit in my presentation, I want to have more one-on-ones with each senator about the liaison positions to make sure that we're actually reaching out and making sure that the on-campus resources are aware that they do have someone that they can report to within ASUN. That's just one thing I'd change, and then making sure that we all have our own respective goals that you want to accomplish within the committee as well.
All right, any other questions for our nominee? All right, now moving on to a debate. You can remain if you choose, you can leave, it's up to you. We'll wait for Senator Barris to leave the room. Senator Quadwaj.
Can I motion the previous question?
You may. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Lucchese. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? All right, that being said, we're now moving into a vote. All in favor of Senator Barris being appointed the Chair of Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions, oy? All right, that being said, the ayes have it, and Senator Barris has been confirmed that the chair is SSW. For the record, also, Senator Barris, oversight will be meeting on November 10th, so I expect to see you there. Alrighty, we're going to be moving back up to agenda item 9, reports of Senate committees, starting off with the Committee on Academics and Student Affairs, Senator Kitch. Moving down to the Committee on Budget and Finance, and to divert to the new elected Vice Chair of Budget and Finance, Speaker Pro Tempore Moss.
Hi, everybody. As Speaker Ackland said, yes, new Vice Chair. Senator Micelli wishes he could be here today, but he wasn't feeling well. So I'm just going to read the report that I have. He says, hi, everyone. Budget and Finance met today and reviewed the Wolfpack Radio, Insight Magazine, and Brushfire accounts. We also elected our new Vice Chair. Congratulations, Speaker Pro Tempore Moss. We reviewed three pieces of legislation from Senator Saporito for first reading, with one being favorably recommended to the Senate. We tabled the other two as we are meeting next week to discuss budget reallocations and continue continue our conversations on these pieces. Side note, I think it is more productive to have these conversations in committee than rather circling around already discussed topics during Senate meetings, which is why we decided to keep these in first reading. Please reach out if you have any questions.
All right, thank you. Moving down our list to the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement, Parliamentarian Issa.
Good evening, Senators. The committee will be meeting this Friday, November 7th at 5:30 p.m., where we'll be filling vacant liaison positions and approving minutes. And additionally, I just want to bring to the Senate body's attention that the Veterans Day luncheon is happening tomorrow from 11:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. in the KC Rotunda. There will be food provided, including Jimmy John's and Doughboys. So please stop by to show your support for our student veterans. And again, I can't say this enough, a huge thank you to Senator Saporito and Senator Barris for taking the lead in organizing this event. It would not have happened without your leadership. So that's it.
I will add for the record, it is not just open, it is open to the public, but the food is intended for veterans and student veterans. So please do not pull up if you are not a veteran. So it's really for them. I mean, nobody's going to turn you away, but you kind of just look like a not nice person if you're just showing up to get free food. That's not for you, it's for veterans. So just want to put that up for the record. Moving down to the Committee of Ideas, Senator Castro.
Yeah, anyways, report. The committee will be meeting this Friday at 3 p.m. in the President's Conference Room, where we will be approving minutes, apportioning liaison positions to new members, and electing a vice chair, and seeing for first reading the piece of legislation regarding the DocuPAC. So, yes.
Alrighty, thank you. Moving down to the Committee on Government Operations, Senator Bolander.
Good evening, everyone. Government Operations is going to be meeting on November 10th, next Monday, at 4:30 p.m. in the PCR. We're going to be talking about two pieces, and then we're going to be finishing up the SAS audit, or at least the initial part of the full release. So, stay tuned.
Alrighty, thank you. Moving down our list. Senator Barris, Chair Barris, would you like to give a report?
I would. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. So the Committee on SSW will attempt to meet next week on Friday at 5:30 p.m. And then look out for those of you in the committee, look out for the when to meet form from Senator Saporito of touring the Student Health Center. And then reach out to me if you have any questions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Sorry, guys. Moving down our list to the Special Committee on Food and Security, Senator Saporito.
Hello everyone, we had our last meeting on October 21st, and we'll be meeting next Thursday, November 13th in the President's Conference Room to accommodate for Veterans Day. We're holding a vice chair election, analyzing USDA food desert data, continuing discussion on bringing the Senate members to UNRPAC revisions, and working closely, spreading awareness of drives or volunteer opportunities available for PAC revisions and the FBNN while the governors are down. But if you have any questions, let me know.
All right, thank you. Moving down our list, Parliamentarian Issa.
Hi again, the Senators. I know in my last report I said that I would have the amendments guide ready at the end of the week. Then I got pneumonia, so then doing out much of anything became very difficult. But I am in the final stages of writing that up, and hopefully it will actually be done by the end of this week. So I'm almost done with that, so.
Thank you. Speaker Pro Tem Cormas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, guys. Internship is in full swing. You guys have been meeting with your interns. You guys have been doing a great job. I started looking at the outreach form already to see what's going on in your intern one-on-ones. You guys have put down some really good information, so we're going to make some adjustments based on those pieces. I'm looking at probably doing another internship social this month. That'll be Thanksgiving themed, so we're gonna have a beautiful Thanksgiving themed social later this month. I'll give you guys the date when I've looked at the calendar a little more thoroughly. Right now, our interns are looking at our ASUN governing documents, and they're being organized into their intern committees this coming week. We're gonna have a guest speaker this week. We're going to hear from Chief Justice Rena Arneson about the judicial branch. I'm very excited about that, given a lot of them had interest in the judicial branch when they applied as well. So very excited about that. Keep meeting with your interns. Make sure you're communicating. If there are struggles with communication, please communicate that with me so that I can also be everybody's ally in that situation and try to get things back on track. And then I'm trying to think of anything else. Some of you have asked for a little more guidance on things to do during your intern meeting, so I'm going to put together a little bonding activities guide similar to the one President Agobant made last year. So that'll be done hopefully by the end of the week. But yeah, so 5:30 on Fridays is their internship meeting. Everyone has a standing invitation to participate and come and see the interns. So feel free to come if you want to see what they're learning. I think we've got a fun week in store, or a fun week of curriculum in store. So yeah. Also, there was some confusion. I wasn't super clear about meeting with your mentor this outreach period, so I'm not gonna be super strict on if you didn't hit your 2 hours, but I will be strict moving forward. So just make sure you're hitting those 2 hours. Thank you to everyone who has done their due diligence with their outreach. So yeah, thank you guys.
Hit 2 hours for what?
Their intern hours.
Okay.
Alrighty, moving down to myself for the Committee on Oversight, I'll just get my speaker report and oversight report in both, but I'll start with oversight. Oversight will be meeting this Monday, November 10th at 6:30 p.m. in room 406, where we will be discussing this outreach period that you all have just submitted, I would hope, on time and correctly. So we'll be reviewing that.
See what time they submitted now, too.
Perfect, even better. Speaker Pontem Pormas, for the record, just said we're able to see what time you actually submitted it to, so hopefully you guys submitted on time, I hope so. But in regard to my speaker report, next week we'll be having the Director of Resident Life, Housing, and Food come in, along with the Director of the Fitness and Recreational Sports Division here at the university. So we'll be hearing a pretty good presentation from them. I know both of those people have presented last year when I was a senator. It is very informative, and I got to learn a lot about their different departments. So super excited for that. For today, I had misspoke at last meeting, and I had said that I needed, you know, everything collected to me Wednesday to agendize for Veterans Day. I misspoke. Veterans Day is next week, so I need everything. If you want to submit something to first reading or whatever it may be to put on the agenda, I need it tonight. Because I will be agendizing tonight. So if you have something, a piece of legislation you want to offer, you can always submit it to me, or if you want to go the faster route, since it seems we're approaching, end of the semester pretty quick. After this, we got 4 meetings left with the semester, so keep that in mind. You can always submit your pieces to committee for faster track. First reading is kind of just there on the agenda if you want to motion to fast track, or if you want to go through the whole process and you want the Senate body to look at it fully and go through the full processes, that's why you would do first reading. But if not, I will be agendizing basically right after this meeting, so if you have something, send to me immediately. As always, my one-on-one is pinned in our Teams chat. If you guys want to meet with me in any regard, whether it's stuff about Senate, whether it's stuff about personal stuff, whether it's stuff about ASUN, whatever it may be, I'm here for you guys. Use me as a resource. So yeah, there's that. In regard to our 4 open seats now, so we luckily have one of our seats filled. Thank you, Senator Calderon, for applying. Appreciate it. But not this week, but the following week on November 19th, we will be seeing the School of Journalism. Right now we have 2 candidates that have applied, but I sent an ad out to the School of Journalism newspaper, so I'm going to give that a week and let that cycle through, and if I hear back from anyone, then we'll have more candidates. So just waiting a little bit on that. And then for public health, I'm looking at having that be seen on December 3rd, which is our second to last meeting. As of right now, it looks like we only have around 1 applicant who's applying, so if you know anyone who's in the college, please urge them to apply. In regard to science and engineering, based on how long it would take for applicants to get approved and going through everything like that, we probably won't have science or engineering for this semester. If you know anyone who wants to apply, tell them to, but they won't be seen until next year, next semester. And at this point, just based on the fact of how many applicants we've had for all of them, I'm kind of weighing the decision on whether I should email back people who have applied and either said, oh, I don't have the time commitment right now, or I can't simply do this right now, thinking about just emailing them back, like, hey, seat is still open if you'd like to apply. Although keep in mind, it would be, you know, from late January to middle of April, so it's around like 3 months and some change. So I'm kind of weighing my options in doing that, but I just want to see if anybody new applies. If nobody does, then I'll email those people, and then if they don't even respond, then looks like I guess those seats will be open until the rest of the session. But yeah, that's my report. Any questions, comments, concerns in regard to anything I've stated in regard to oversight or my speaker report? Senator Bardwaj.
Point of information, if someone applies like right now, then what's the earliest? Like, are you required to keep the position open for a certain amount of time?
For what college?
Science.
They probably could get seen on.
We just opened it, so just posted it, so
perfect.
It would be the normal window.
Yeah, so let's wait, let me, I think in my, well, let me get my calendar. So if they applied today, the earliest they would be seated is the 3rd or the 10th, but I don't really want to do the 10th. If also, side note, if you guys have any legislation you want to do or anything like that, please, please don't send it to me like the day, or not the day of dead day, but for the dead day meeting, just to ram stuff in. If you want to do something and you need help writing it, please, please urge and ask anyone in the center of the table to help you write it. I don't want to have a 4.5-hour meeting on dead day, just simply based on the fact that we all have finals. I got to study for stuff. You guys got to study for stuff. And I do not want a 4-hour meeting on dead day. So if you have anything, please submit it beforehand so we don't have motions to fast track last minute. So there's that. Does that answer your question though, in regard to candidates? Anything else in regard to what I've said in regard to oversight or my speaker report? Any other questions in regard to committee chairs and their reports? All right. All right, moving down our list to the reports of Senate Secretaries, so you get a report.
Please send reports. That's it.
Thank you. Moving down our list, passage agenda item 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Moving down to agenda item 18A, second reading of legislation. Agenda item 18A, SB 93, an act to amend the capital fund requirements in the statute of the Associated Students. Speaker Pro Tempore Moss, would you like to start us off with a brief synopsis?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been asked by Chair Micelli to go over this piece of legislation with you all today. This is a very procedural piece of legislation. The only major change it makes is bringing the threshold that we can't cross for the capital fund account down from $500,000 to $250,000, so that we're not in violation of the SAS should we choose to invest the capital fund account on one expenditure. I don't know the current amount. I think it's like $578,000. Other being I see Caden or Senator Custer shaking his head, so I'm going to assume that's the right number. That's how much is in the account right now, estimate wise. But if we were to invest or use that capital fund account, and it's an expenditure larger than $78,000, then we would then fall in violation of the SAS. And so what this does is, per the recommendation of Director Rodriguez, brings it down to 250, which allows us to do a lot more with the capital fund account. So now I'll move into questions. So yeah.
Any questions at this time for Speaker Pro Tempore Moss? Senator Chaparrito.
So just around like the $300,000 that surplus that we have in the capital fund account. So the next budget finance meeting, where President Aguilar is going to be, I guess, reallocating all the additional funds within our budget.
The capital fund account is separate. So the, if for those who don't know, the capital fund account is the revenue made by the Wolf Shop because ASUN owns the Wolf Shop. So the reallocations that will be made by President Aglebot next week are those of the, I'm trying to find the right word to say this. Those reallocations are money that, because enrollment was up, we have extra dollars to reallocate after enrollment has been finished for this fall semester. So that's what those reallocations are. President Aglebot's reallocations would not affect the capital fund account because that is purely revenue from the Wolf Shop.
Any other questions? Senator Dayton?
Do we need a know why the number was originally set to $500,000?
That is a really good question. I'm going to defer to... I saw Senator Custer's hand first, or whatever
member. Senator Custer, go ahead.
Well, so the reason, it was originally set to... I want to say that was an arbitrary pick number, but the reason why it was so high was because when this account was originally established, it was pulling in revenue of like upwards of $1 million. Because of how it's spent right now, basically, that Sandy basically said we will never see it that high again, just because of how like our contracts with the bookstore, things like that. It was recommended to lower because she basically said the problem is that at this point we will never be able to use that fund because if we have to keep $500,000 in it, we'll never actually be able to go below that. So by lowering it to $250,000, we will not have money to actually spend from the revenue instead of just keep money in the account. And what's important to notice too is that the only thing that we have to pay for that account is the rent for the actual bookstore itself, and that is $200,000. So it covers the rent by itself. It gives us $50,000 extra for a buffer, and that's plenty to have in the account. And then the rest now we can spend and allocate to what this asset we can use the capital funds for.
Senator Lawson, is it a question or point of conversation?
Point of conversation.
Just wait for question or wait for debate. Any other questions at this time? All right, Senator Lawson, go ahead. Starts off with debate.
I was just want to add that we've already paid our rent for the bookstore for this fiscal year, so that $200,000 is already saved for next year.
Senator McAndrews.
I also want to mention the capital account is a super awesome account where you can really do some cool stuff with it. And because we're at that certain threshold, if we bring it down, of course there's like some points in place, but also this is the first time in 10 years that we can actually start allocating those funds to do some cool stuff with it. So with that, we have what, like $200,000 that we can have fun with. So not have fun with, but allocate wisely. So, yeah.
Speaker Pro Tempore Moss.
And I just want to piggyback off of Senator Lawson and Senator McAndrews. Some things that the capital fund account has paid for in the past is the computer lab in the Raggio building. I believe that was paid for by the capital fund account. Nightingale Hall, that was a loan that we gave to, I think, the College of Liberal Arts, and then we forgave that loan, and that's why tickets are never over $5 at Nightingale Hall. So this account is for us as ASUN to make really key investments across campus and start investing in campus and giving students a little bit more from their student government, if that makes sense. I don't know if there's been anything else that the capital fund account has paid for. Maybe you have
bleachers at Lawler.
We bought the bleachers at Lawler with the capital fund account, thank you, which is really cool. Where the student section is, we own those bleachers because of that. So really cool stuff that we can do with this account now that it's back in operation, because we've been paying off debt for the last 10 years. And now we have cleared our debt with the Wolf Shop, so now it's open for us to use going forward.
Senator Lawson and Senator Saporito.
We also used the capital fund to pay for the aerial fields, and that was partially why we were in debt. It's because we took out that loan to pay for the aerial fields, and we're slowly paying it back.
Yeah.
Senator Saporito and Senator Barbalush.
Just a point of information, by my sound. What would be one of the priorities with this extra allocation? Would you be doing
Well, does the body give permission for Luis to speak?
That is a great question. I would warn you not to talk about it because it's not part of the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can do it, just not part of the discussion.
With the legislation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's not prevalent, don't talk about it. Senator Saporito, do you have anything else?
No.
Okay.
I'll invite you, Senator Saporito, to come to our budget and finance meetings, because that's where we discuss in detail what we would like to use the capital fund account for and what future legislation could look like. So I'll extend the invitation for you to come to the committee.
Senator Barwaj and Senator Lucchese.
Yield.
Senator Lucchese.
I'll admit a previous question.
Hold on. Let's not jump the gun here. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Speaker Pro Tempore Moss. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? All right, that being said, that motion is adopted. Moving down to a vote. Hold on.
Moving on to a vote for agenda item 18A, SB 93, an act to amend the capital fund requirements and the statute of the associated students. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions, oy. Here in the chamber, the ayes have it, and that bill has passed. All right, real quick, I forgot to mention the points memo, so I'm going to move back up to agenda item 9J. Points memo reads as follows. Atkinson with 2 points, Bardwaj with 1.3 points, Bolander with 2 points, Huang with 3 points, Lawson with 1.3 points, Lucchese with 2 points, Senator McAndrews with 2 points, and Maselli with 1 point. Points memo reads as follows, and again, I am human, I do mess up on this stuff, so if there's an error, or you think I've made an error, or there's something wrong with your points, or you think you don't deserve points, please reach out to me, and I'm more than happy to explain why I assign you those points, and again, if there's an error, I'm more than happy to correct it. Alrighty. Moving down our list to agenda item 19A, Senate Committee Changes and Additions. Senator Calderon, would you like to add yourself to two of our committees?
Can I mess up the budget and finance?
Yeah. So, hold on. The motion goes as follows. So repeat after me. I move.
To place myself.
On the Committee of Budget and Finance. Oh, hold on.
It's got a seat.
Okay.
It's got a seat.
Okay. Let's restart that. Sorry. I move to place myself. On the Committee of Budget and Finance.
On the Committee of Budget and Finance.
Three unanimous consent. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator McAndrews. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? With that being said, Senator Calderon, you have place on the Committee of Budget and Finance. All right. And then what was the other committee you'd like to place yourself on?
What's the committee that meets on Friday?
That's DCE. Whoa, one at a time. When does DCE meet?
Point of clarification. Both DCE and SSW meet on Fridays at 5:30, and DCE is full right now.
Point of information, Senator Calderon indicated that you wanted to join ASA at budget and finance in this presentation.
I wasn't aware of what ASA meant. I want to place myself in ASA.
Okay, would you like to make that motion?
Motion to place myself in ASA, 3 unanimous consent.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Bardwaj, is there any dissent? Any abstentions? Sorry, that being said, Senator Calderon, you have a place in the Committee on Academics and Student Affairs. All right, are there any other Senate committee changes and additions at this time? All right, Senator Barris, go ahead.
I move to place myself on the Special Committee on Food Insecurity, 3 unanimous consent.
Is there a second?
Second
by Senator Bardwaj, is there any dissent? Any abstentions? Sorry, that being said, Senator Barris, you have a place in the following committee. Senator DeBarger, go ahead. Is there a second?
Second
by Senator Atkinson. Is there any dissent? Any abstentions? All right, that being said, Senator DeBarge, you can place in the following committee. Any other Senate committee changes or additions at this time? All right, moving down our list to agenda item 19B, Senator reports. Are there any senators who would like to start us off? Just Senator Barris? All right, go ahead. Senator Barris, go ahead.
All righty, Senator Barris for the record. Hello, everyone. I hope you guys are all doing well and staying out of the cold. The past week has been quite eventful. I met with Lex Rodriguez from NevadaCares to talk about my liaison position with them here at SSW and how I can be of support within the next couple months. We discussed briefly about SSW Week and the events they have planned for the upcoming months. We set a time aside to meet throughout the semester, and I'm super excited to continue this relationship. I also met with Assistant Director Souza, where we discussed SSW Week as well. We mainly talked about SSW's committee involvement within the week and how we plan to stay involved and engaged with the Department of Wellness and their initiatives moving forward. I'm going to continue to stay in contact and make sure they feel our support. And then a lot of my focus has been on the Veterans Week. On Monday, Senator Saperito and I planned a little coffee table outside the Joe. Veterans Services had donuts, juice, and milk. It was a great experience planting the flags, and I had a great time chatting with the staff members. Tomorrow we have the Veterans Luncheon, which is from 11:30 to 2 p.m. in the Casey Rotunda. We'll be having food from Doughboys and Jimmy John's. Please come out to support, but not to eat the food. Thank you. And let me know if you have any questions.
All right, thank you. Senator Villa, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Senator Villa for the record. So today I met with Campus Dining.
specifically with Lauren Morris and Matt Clark from Campus Dining. And we just discussed my liaison positions for the special committee and SSW. And they communicated a few events with me that they like would be doing and like, you know, like maybe we collaboration on. So sometime in March, it's still TBD, but they will be hosting an eating disorders recovery week. So that'll be sometime in March. And as we discussed for the special committee, they want to do a certain like program for donations of like swipes, like for the dining hall. So for food swipes, and they'll be, I'm still like unsure of the full like logistics of this, but they plan to do a sort of like swipe drive event on November 17th. And I'm pretty sure we're already in November. Yeah, we're already in November, so that should be this month on 17th. Besides that, they were like super sweet and like really, they're really, really eager to work with us and collaborate with like these events, and they're really open to giving us a spot to like table or like do any outreach event that we'd like at the dining hall. So they'll be holding an event next Monday with, I'm not sure what other department it is, but they're hosting an event with another department in the Casey Rotunda where people make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for persons in need. So that'll be the Casey Rotunda if you want some outreach. So yeah, that's all. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other senator reports? Senator Saporito.
Huge day for the special committee. I just wanted to say, yes, the Veterans Lunch is tomorrow. I'd love a video too. If you want to help with volunteering, let me know. We have an hour by hour. At 1:20, we have a banner that we want to give to Veterans Services. If you guys want to sign your signatures on it with the veterans, just to show your appreciation for what they do on campus. Be there, be square.
Reach.
The Food Bank Northern Nevada and Tiger Visions are offering more volunteer opportunities this holiday season. They're partnering with, anyways, the entire month of November 10th to December 10th is going to be a Coke and food drive for non-perishable foods within the CSE. And on November 17th to the 21st, Pack Rise Man will be posted outside as a joke rally for a band donation event. We have a giving donation campaign where Pack Provisions is looking to raise up to $5,000, which is good for our students. And if you guys want to volunteer for any events regarding Pack Provisions in the Food Bank of Northern Nevada, please go check it out on GivePulse. This is like the time where students need our assistance the most. So SNAP is not being funded, SNAPED is not being funded. I'm going to shut down. So please do everything you guys can. I really appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Any other senator reports at this time? Senator Evans.
Hi, Senator Evans, for the record. In terms of our College Sciences project on the Black Code Nations, I've just been emailing a lot of people, specifically departments around campus. There's a lot of people who have lab coats to donate but are probably going to be living off campus. But out of most people I've emailed, only a couple have applied. None of the apartments have applied, so I'm thinking about or replied. So I think I'm going to go in person to give the pitch or at least try getting contact with somebody. But there's still a lot of emails to send. I had no campus study board, so I said as many as I want. In terms of meetings, we'll be meeting with Res Life, maybe College Science Center. We'll be meeting with Res Life, AD Mendoza, maybe Amy Sandy from the CSC if I need more information. And also, there's multiple senators I've reached out to who might know more information about specific majors and if they have chem labs, because specifically engineering, some engineering majors only took one chem lab and then their lab coat's not needed anymore. So that's potentially thousands of people that could donate lab coats. Since Senator Levy's resignation, just for like clarity, I'm now mentoring both Brian and Phoebe, and we'll be meeting together. We're trying to do, I think we're going to do Mondays around like 6-ish. So,
alrighty, thank you. Speaker Pro Tempore Moss.
Just a quick report. We concluded all of our Halloween festivities in the College of Education. We announced our pumpkin painting winners. So if you check out the co-ed, you'll see three painted pumpkins that won our little pumpkin painting contest. So go give that a like, because Doodle Bop and a bunch of those other pumpkins. Thank goodness the 6'7" pumpkin did not win. I love my college, but I can't stand 6'7". But we're going to be doing a prep day event on December 10th from 9 to 11 in the Learning Resource Center. So if you're interested in getting like a self-care goodie bag, like helping plan for your finals, we'll have materials, snacks, food, all that fun stuff. If I'm working on a campus safety resolution with UPDNC. I have a meeting tomorrow with Director Mendoza and Madison Efer of UPDNC to talk about that. We're going to try to do some social media surveying so that we can talk to some people about, or we can see what students want from UPDNC when it comes to how campus safety is supposed to go and what they expect from the department. So those are just some exciting things going on right now. Please let me know if you have any questions or want to collaborate on anything. So yeah.
I have a question. Speaker Pro Tempore Moss, what will be the process for someone called Laurent getting an intern?
TBD. We don't have enough, just for the record, we don't have enough interns for every senator. So either per the SAS or per our Senate rules in the SAS, if a senator doesn't have an intern, they can either choose to be paired with like a two mentor to one intern, or they can choose two extra hours of outreach per week. So that would go from 4 to 6 hours of outreach. So the plan is that I will, I was going to talk to you after this, but I'll do a one-on-one with all of our new senators as they come in now, and we'll discuss that as it comes.
Cool.
So, yeah. That's good to know for everybody, too. So.
Alrighty. Due to the fact that I do this every meeting, I'm going to spin our wheel of names to see who will be luckily selected to give their center report. Like I said, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. It could be, I hope it's not a sentence long, but if it is, thank you for speaking up and thank you for telling us what you're doing. But this is basically just so I can kind of keep you guys on your toes and make sure you guys are actually doing some work. And obviously, I love to hear what you guys are doing. And our first name that the wheel of names has selected is Senator DeBarger. Senator Barger. And our next wheel that the Wheel of Names has selected is Senator Lucchese.
Oh, sweet. this past weekend, or I guess before that, when the Senator seats of business opened up, I met with a constituent, talked to him about ASUN, what we did. He was interested, then kind of became disinterested after I talked, because maybe, you know, Senate's not for him, but he is interested in other parts of ASUN, so that was productive, I guess. And then more of a fun thing, I got to march in the Nevada Day Parade with Speaker Pro Tempore Moss, Senator Bellwether, B.B. McNamara, and President Hagelbaum. That was actually like so sick. Like they flew a chopper with the American flag. So that was like really fun outreach that I didn't think I'd be able to do, and it was pretty cool. And Brian Sandoval is like a straight up celebrity.
All right, thank you. Senator Bardwaj?
Yeah, quick report, because I got reminded of it. I'm presenting this Friday to the College of Science Advisory Council, and don't let science scare you. These are, like, our dean has indicated that these are very influential donors across universities, so if there's anything you want to, like, I guess, like, grovel for funding about, shoot me a text, and I will be sure to mention it.
Alrighty, thank you. Any other Senate reports? Going once, going twice, going thrice. Sorry, we're moving on. All right, moving down to comments and announcements. Are there any comments and announcements at this time? Senator Dayton.
So this morning, Senator Saperito and I met with Vice Provost Catalano to talk about the digital pocket initiative, specifically the service pro devices for our students. Can you talk about that whole program? And right now, there are discussions of potentially expanding that to be all incoming freshmen. And he was really curious to know all of the college's perspectives on what devices are necessary for their classes, what locations are. So if you guys like have insight into that, please reach out to me or Senator Saperito or to Dr. Catalano yourself, because that's something that he asked us to report back on. And maybe we can need to come visit the site sometime, because he was very eager to reach his perspective.
All right. Thank you, Senator Dayton. FYI as well, I would mention that in your Senate report, not comments and announcements. Comments and announcements is say for example, when Senator Bolander had his taco event with ATO, you know. It's comments and announcements is meant for stuff that you're kind of doing outside of ASUN, maybe in your personal life. For example, like I would give an announcement about, you know, PAD. Shout out Phi Alpha Delta, the pre-law fraternity here, if anyone's interested. Just saying, you know. But it would be mentioned for that. So, go ahead.
How do you spell his name?
Catalano,
C-A-T-A-L-A-N-O. Okay, thank you.
Alrighty, any other comments, announcements? Senator Kitch and Senator Bolander. Senator Bolander, then Senator Calderon.
So last night I was printing my agenda, and I saw this resolution from 1982 for the Paul Quinlan scholarship, and I thought it was really neat, because that's in the SAS. And then, you know, I had to post that agenda for the nasty wind and rain this morning, so that was fun. My interior elections are on Sunday.
Thank you. Senator Calderon.
Just want to run a call to the Senator and Mel. We have BSC Business and Board this Friday. You guys that are going to go to the Business Board, if you guys want to come, please, I know me and Matthew will be there. Please let your fraternity brothers, your friends know, because it's free and you get 2 hours of bowling and food.
You have me at free. Speaker Pro Tempore Moss.
I have something really cool that I forgot to talk about. In the College of Education, if you're studying primary or elementary or secondary education, or mainly, I think, also secondary education, you are considered a pre-education student until you are told to apply for the PAC Teach or Nevada Teach program. And so as of, I think, last Thursday, I am officially no longer a pre-education student. I am a secondary education student. Yay! I got into the PAC Teach program, so officially not officially actually a College of Education student. So, yay!
Any other comments, announcements at this time before we move on to public comment? Alrighty, any other public comment at this time? No public comment. Alrighty. With that being said, we're moving on to agenda item 22. I adjourn the 93rd Senate session of the Associated Students at 8:51 p.m. convening both in the Reed Line at Senate Chambers and via Zoom.
Yay!
Yeah.